Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is Thursday, already the fourth day of November 2010. Obviously, we're going to talk about gold and silver skyrocketing today. That wasn't hard to predict with the announcement that they are going to kill the dollar. The big announcement yesterday at 1:15 Central by the private Federal Reserve that is creating economic mayhem by design to consolidate power. I'm going to try to be as focused as possible today. You know, I rarely get sick, but I've been sick with some type of cold and sore throat since Sunday. And I was exhausted last night at about 8 o'clock, and George Norrie's producer called me to get me on for 2 hours until 4 a.m. Central. And I went on the show. I think I did a pretty good job, actually, being exhausted. I wasn't my normal, you know, hyped-up self. And we covered what was happening in the economy and the elections and the QE2, the quantitative easing round number two. But I was totally exhausted at about 8 o'clock, and I had to stay up for 4 or 5 hours till I was going on the show. And so I got in the car and went and saw a movie, Hereafter. And later in the broadcast, if I have time, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. But I'm always impressed by Clint Eastwood, his directing skills. It was a very powerful movie with Matt Damon, dealing with near-death experiences and synchronicity, things like that, things that are very similar to what I've experienced and what Colonel Craig Roberts experienced when he died multiple times on the operating table. And it's experiences that we all know people that have had experiences like that. But very, very touching film. Very, very powerful film, in my humble opinion. Well, obviously, the news is all completely insane. And I have the press release here by the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. I have this Business Insider report. The Federal Reserve is holding a conference on Jekyll Island to celebrate 100 years of dominating America. And they are openly bragging about it. The title of the conference is A Return to Jekyll Island, The Origins, History, and the Future of the Federal Reserve. They met in November of 1910. And 3 years later, the private banking cartel took over the United States, 1913. So 100-year anniversary of the secret plot. And they admit it was a secret plot, and it's been successful. And this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. I think people need to get out to this event. It is tomorrow. It's Friday and Saturday at the exact same building where the original 1910 meeting occurred. This is unbelievable. If I would have gotten a bigger heads up on this, I would have gone to this. This is the equivalent of a Bilderberg Group meeting, and it's a celebration of conquering this country economically through fraud. And you notice they're meeting 100 years after they hatched their original plan, right as they kill the dollar and bring us into the new system, this global government phase of the Ponzi scheme that they hold out as the solution to all the major problems that they are the progenitors of. So we've got all the election news. We've got the economic news. We've got light. The Large Hadron Collider researchers set to create a mini Big Bang. BBC. Boy, that sounds really smart. Yeah, they're accelerating these different particles into each other and admitting it could cause a giant explosion. But that isn't what matters. No, there's parcel bombs. That's what's dangerous. Give up all your rights immediately.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Remember when you were a child and 6 months out from Christmas, you were just so excited about the toys, that bike or that wagon or that Cowboys and Indians set of toy guns and holsters and bows and arrows that you were so excited about getting, or that doll you wanted if you were a girl. That toy stove and refrigerator and pots and pans that you were so excited about getting. And you would wait and wait and wait, and it would just seem like it took forever, but finally Christmas came. Finally Christmas arrived. But bad things arrive as well. And you talk about them, you know they're coming, but you're not hoping for them to arrive. You don't want to get to that destination, but you know the road you're going down. And we have been arriving at these different signposts, these different road markers, as we go deeper into this dehumanizing scientific dictatorship known as the One World Government, the New World Order, the corporate kleptocracy. And we're now here. And it's just going to get worse from here on out. And the propaganda is going to get more insane, more in your face, more ridiculous by the minute. That's why the system is practicing absurdity. It is a psychological warfare tactic to just do bizarre things out in the open to condition the population that it's okay. I'm about to get into the quantitative easing, what's happening with the markets, what's happening with gold and silver and other commodities. I want to get into the latest incredible election news as well and tell you about a few of the guests that are coming up today here on the broadcast. We've got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy at the Treasury, coming on to talk about QE2 and the dollar devaluation. We've also got Bev Harris, top expert in investigating election fraud in the field. She's going to be joining us. She investigates corporate fraud forensically. That's her original forte. So perfect to study government and election officials fraud. That's coming up. But I was, I guess, getting into a parable dealing with the fact that we are now in this world government and it has now arrived and we can see the type of fruit that it bears on its branches, and it's poisonous, it's nauseous, it's stinking. And the system is training us that it's good. And here's the problem. Humans are social creatures. And humans intrinsically will mimic what the leaders say. But we have false leaders. And most societies go insane. Elites get on power trips. Their children become even more corrupt. Their children become even more corrupt. And it always ends with madmen and women engaging in every form of dehumanization that they can for their enjoyment, because that's their nature. And I've used this example many times. You can look at the Soviets or the Nazis. You can look at the Roman Empire. You can look at the excesses of the Chinese, the Japanese. It doesn't matter. You can look at the excesses of the Druids. You can look at the behavior of the Canaanites in the Middle East. You can look at the Aztecs. And in every case, a priest class takes over that the general population has been taught has special knowledge. And the priest class then always demands that children be thrown into fires before idols or have their hearts chopped out or be bound and thrown into lakes or that even royal members of the royal family must be killed and offered up to the gods via the priest class. And they practice this absurdity because once they can train a village 3,000 years ago in what is England today, or in a village 1,500 years ago in what is Mexico City, it's always the same. Whether you come from Western Europeans or Asians that came across the Bering Strait and settled in the Americas, the controllers always demand blood, because if they can get the tribe one time to let them put a little kid up on an idol and chop their heart out, if they can train the population one time to take their men, women, and children and bind them and throw them into burning fires before idols, once the public has done that once, once they've been convinced to do it once, they will start defending the practice because they don't want to admit to themselves that what they're doing is wrong. Once you buy into the lie of 9/11, once you buy into the lie of the open borders, once you buy into the lie of the Federal Reserve running things, once you buy into the lie of taking your shoes off and being asked questions and being patted down, of course they're going to put you in a radiation chamber and naked body scan you. Of course, on top of that now, they're going to squeeze your genitals, and they're in the New York Times and in ABC News talking about it, and they just say, we're going to grab your wife's genitals, and it's good, and we're going to do it. And we're going to take your blood at the DMV to get a driver's license. That's now being announced. It's been on the books for 15-plus years. It's law. They are going to announce forced inoculations. They've been pushing that for a while. They're getting in your space. They're letting you know that they're the boss and that that's the end of it. And they're scientifically doing it. They are scientifically, with 500 roving vans with no radiation shielding for the technicians, driving around blasting our houses with high-powered radiation at least 10 times, according to the radiologists we've had on, 10 times a powerful chest x-ray. They're going to beam you in your house with no warrant, and the technicians are going to sit in the vans and are sitting in the vans, literally killing themselves. Most of them will be dead within 5 to 10 years, and it'll be no big deal. Just like they say it's the law to take Gardasil shots when it's not. They admit in the trials it killed a bunch of people. It's killed a bunch of people after. And they said, we don't care. We're now going to inject boys as well, not just girls. They're going to announce that, yeah, we shoot up Guatemalan kids with live syphilis, telling them it's vaccines. Now, take your shots. See, it's a big open secret that we're all being soft killed. And it's now not even an open secret. It's out in the open that, oh, the solution to all our problems is a global government run by the very banks that have engineered all this. You look at Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan and others, Warren Buffett and his outfit, Wells Fargo, one of the big six, Bank of America. They all fund eugenics and abortion, and they fund it all. Bill Gates funds it. I mean, they're just all there. And they're out in the open with it. And all we've got to do is wake up from the trance and say, you know what? This is not acceptable. This is not kosher. This is not something that's going to fly. How would you say it in Spanish? What's the equivalent of saying it's not okay? It's... in Spanish, what's the term for that? No bueno. No bueno? This is no bueno. All right, I'm done pontificating on this subject. We got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming up in about 13, 14 minutes. You know, I got up this morning after about 2 hours sleep, And I read the news, and it just confirms everything. I mean, look, the Federal Reserve is having a celebration tomorrow at Jekyll Island, Georgia, openly bragging about their takeover of the United States and how they hatched the plan 100 years ago in 1910. That's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com from Business Insider. We've got the announcement they're killing the dollar. We've got it all. And I wanted to get into what QE2 means with Ted Anderson ahead of Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming on with us. But first off, Ted Anderson, we're about to go to break here in a moment. Where is gold and silver right now? I know gold was up over $35 last time I checked. Silver was surging. Where is it right now, Ted?
Well, gold right now is at 1378.80. Seen a high today of 1385.40. Silver right now, $25.63 an ounce. Seen a high today of $25.75. Alex, that's as high as we've ever seen it, going all the way back. I've had the experience to see it at $50 an ounce just because I was in the business in 1980. But this is as high as
it only went to 50 for a little while, and then the other previous high was $25, correct?
That is right. I mean, Alex, it is just, you know, well, QE2, you want to talk about that? How about $75 billion of new money coming in to compete with what we've earned and what we've saved for, you know, competing for what we are going to earn all the way up till June 2011, and they're saying that they're not going to stop at that. I mean, that's $600 billion of printing press money. I mean, you might as well have a counterfeiter standing behind you every time you're trying to buy something.
But it's better than that, Ted. We're going to have to pay all this back with tax money, and we don't even get it. The bankers openly get it, and they're talking now about $1 trillion, not $600 billion. It's like, it's going to be $600 billion next day. Actually $1 trillion. Next week. Actually $2 trillion. I mean, it's incredible. So the private Federal Reserve, who has enriched itself in the last 97 years, hatched the plan 100 years ago at Jekyll Island, and they're very proud of themselves. They're calling it a return to Jekyll Island, the origins, history, and future of the Federal Reserve, and they're having a celebration. And they're now telling the world that by devaluing the dollar and giving themselves trillions and trillions of our tax money, that this is going to fix the economy. But you see how the markets are responding. Silver surging, gold surging. Ted Anderson, give us those specific numbers. Where is gold right now?
Well, gold currently right now at the moment is at 1380.50. So it went up since the last time right before break. We've had a high today of 1385.40. Silver, a real big winner on this one, $25.75. I can't believe we're just blowing right through $25 an ounce and heading right toward $26 an ounce. And one of the things, Alex, you got to remember the market peak for gold right now is $1387.35. And right now we're at $1385.40 for a market peak for today. So we're just, you know, dollars behind the last high. I mean, the market, the entire world right now is looking at the United States and going, why should we hold on to their currency? And they're really looking to drop, you know, they want to get out of their U.S. dollar investments. It's sad because, you know what, Alex? In 1986, I traveled through Europe, and you could use a dollar to buy anything. And now foreigners are trying to get away from this currency. You know what else is really crazy? The Mexicans right now are having problems because their currency is rising against the U.S. dollar, so their exports business is going down. I mean, who would have ever thought the United States dollar would be doing more poorly than the Mexican peso?
Well,
I mean,
later, Ted, I'm going to go over an excellent report, 9 Reasons Why Quantitative Easing is Bad for the U.S. Economy. It's up on Infowars.com. It's from the great blog, The Economic Collapse. And we're going to go over these issues with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. But I wanted you in the few minutes that we've got left here, because this is an ongoing process as gold and silver just continues to go up month to month. Sometimes they drive it down, but it always pops up like that beach ball higher than before. If you look at the 6-month, the year graphs, it's going straight up. And you do have gold and silver that you bought when it was lower. But you told me just a few days ago that prices are about to go up. So please tell the listeners today's Midas Resources special radio offers.
Well, the best special that I have right now, Alex, and this price hasn't gone up, is you're offering me three of your videos, and I'm putting three silver dollars with it. You got three silver dollars. You got three videos. That's the Obama deception, Follow the Republic, and Endgame, all tied together in a package. You also get three silver dollars, and those are original videos, new in the plastic. And you get the whole thing for $84 delivered. That price is going to have to go up.
$84?
I'm sorry. Let me take a look here.
It's $87, Ted.
$87. You're right. Yeah.
But just to be clear,
that's
the cost. Yep. That's a great deal on three silver dollars, $87. I mean, you know, try finding it for a lower price. That's a very good price. And then you get a $60 value of three of my most powerful films on top of it for free. So you can look at it you know, either way. But we did the math the other day. That's $160 value for $87. And that includes the shipping. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. A lot of people say, well, look, I don't have the money to buy gold. Fifth of an ounce, quarter of an ounce. Ted's got great deals on sovereigns, francs, you name it. But silver, anybody, you know, can buy a silver half dollar. I know you've got a great deal on those, Ted. Tell us about the silver half dollars.
That's the Walking Liberty half there at $11.77. I mean, when it really comes down to it, people need to spread the message. People need to be educated so we can win elections. I mean, look at, we had Ron Paul and Rand Paul elected to Congress just because of the fact that we're supporting them. It's this grassroots effort of what we're doing that gets them elected, and possibly we can turn around the system. People need to get these videos, hand them out. In the process, get some real silver dollars. This is the silver dollar that the people fought for during the 1700s so we could have this free nation, and this is what they said had to be money. And for some reason, we got away from this constitutional money, and now we have this fiat system, which is coming to the end of its life.
Absolutely. Let me give people the number for gold and silver, great prices, and that deal to get three silver dollars and three of my most powerful films for $87. That includes shipping, ladies and gentlemen. That's off the charts. Ted is losing money on this. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. But I'd get a lot more than three silver dollars, folks. 800-686-2237. Ted, I really appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you as this unfolds.
Yep.
Gold and silver shooting up right now. 800-686-2237. They're killing the dollar, folks. Stay with us.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Well, the Federal Reserve signaled a few years ago that they were going to start accelerating the monetization of debt. And I can think of no better expert to have on than somebody who's been listed by Forbes and many other publications as one of the most 10 most influential economists in the last 100 years, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy at the Treasury, father of Reaganomics, Wall Street Journal editor, formerly best-selling author. And let me read a few of these headlines before we go to him. U.S. Federal Reserve latest bubble threatens mayhem. That's the London Telegraph. They're talking about $600 billion to a trillion. That's also in the Wall Street Journal today. I have the Federal Reserve's press release. And you notice the 870-something billion for the bailout, that turned into trillions, according to Bloomberg. Here's another headline from Infowars.com. The Fed no longer cares about hiding the fact that it's killing the dollar. There's another great report from the Economic Collapse up on Infowars.com. 9 reasons why quantitative easing is bad for the U.S. economy. Buckle up and hold on. A new round of quantitative easing is here, and things can start getting very ugly. Yeah, look at gold and silver and oil and other commodities shooting up. And it goes through these 9 issues. Quantitative easing will damage the value of the U.S. dollar. That's number 1. Inflation is going to hit already struggling U.S. consumers really hard with higher prices. Number three, once an inflation spiral gets going, it's really hard to stop. Number four, inflation is a hidden tax on every American. Number five, the solution to the housing bubble is not another housing bubble. Number six, more quantitative easing threatens to destabilize the global financial system. They even had a Federal Reserve Board governor from Kansas City come out and vote against it saying that. Number seven, quantitative easing is an aggressive move in a world already on the verge of a currency war. Number eight, quantitative easing threatens the status of the dollar as the world reserve currency. Number nine, it's going to become more expensive for the U.S. government to borrow money. And, of course, then you have them already announcing that going out for the next 2 years, no COLA increase, cost of living increase, for people on Social Security. So this will really hurt people on fixed incomes. It's just incredible to see this thing accelerating. So I want to get Dr. Paul Craig Roberts' take on that. He's also written a new article that's extremely powerful, that dovetails with the New York Times. Opt out of a body scan, then brace yourself. ABC News reporting they will, palms up, grab your genitals in an act of submission. And Roberts gets it right on the head, nails it right on the head when he says, might is right, and he gets into the naked body scanners. That's up on InfoWars.com. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Alex.
Good to have you here joining us via video Skype from your home. Dr. Roberts, break down what's happening with this QE2 and what this means to our dollar.
Well, Alex, I don't think we really know why the Fed is doing this. They actually have not announced that they're going to print the money and destroy the currency. They are explaining this policy as a way of stimulating the economy. They hope that it will further lower interest rates and cause some business investment and hiring that would help the economy get back on its feet. That's what they say. Now, I certainly agree with you and the report you read that the one consequence of what they've announced will be to hurt the dollar. And we already see evidence of that. But, of course, the dollar has been hurt for many years now by excess creation of dollars. And so, in a way, this is a continuation, perhaps an acceleration of the reduction of the dollar's exchange value. If we think about why the Fed is doing quantitative easing, one possible explanation is it's got nothing to do with an economic rebound. They're not really focused on bringing the economy back. They're trying to find a way to finance the massive budget deficits. You know, how do you finance a $1.4 trillion budget deficits when there's no American savings to buy the bonds? And when that deficit is a multiple of the combined trade surpluses of all of our trading partners, so that even if every country, such as China, Japan, the OPEC nations, that have sizable trade surpluses with the United States, even if every one of those dollars is recycled into purchasing treasury debt, it can only take about, at the most, a third of the debt that has to be issued to finance the deficit. So this may simply be the Federal Reserve stepping in to purchase new treasury debt under the cover of an economic stimulus plan. That's just my speculation, because the Fed is not going to tell us one way or the other. Now, the consequence is that there's tremendous buildup of excess reserves in the banking system. And under normal conditions, this would cause a massive inflation. But we don't have normal conditions. The banks aren't lending these excess reserves. So they're not finding their way. The money is not being expanded and finding its way into the economy. In other words, the money multiplier is not in effect. the banks sit on the reserves and are basically, I think, trading their troubled assets to the Federal Reserve for new bank reserves, which they themselves can then use to purchase new Treasury debt. So it might simply be a scheme of financing the budget deficits. And as long as these excess reserves that the Fed is creating, that's in effect what it's doing when it buys bonds, it's creating excess reserves, that money is not being expanded through the money multiplier by bank lending. And so it doesn't really result in the kind of inflation that you would expect.
Sure. Doctor, I mean, looking at the Economist, you know, even the Wall Street Journal, the London Guardian, the Telegraph, they're saying clearly that, and we've seen, and you've talked about this on the show for years, that China and other countries are starting to not buy, you know, all of the treasuries that are offered. And so they can't just let them sit there. I mean, they've got to finance this debt they've created. So you're saying that might be it. And you know, I appreciate the fact that you're, you know, being reserved and not definitive. But it, I mean, either way you cut it, it is definitive, though, that people are starting to back away from the dollar and that all we have left is the world reserve currency status. As you've said, we don't have an economy. We don't have trade. We just buy Chinese slave goods with more dollars. And so what happens as the dollar, I mean, we saw Christian Science Monitor last week, you know, quoting the IMF and World Bank saying, you know, we're going to go to these SDRs and basically have accelerated, coordinated global devaluation. You know, they call this a currency war, but this goes back a year and a half ago to the G20. But correct me if I'm wrong, but they just openly stated that they were having this coordinated global devaluation of currencies. And I guess it's some way to try to hide the fact that all major governments are doing this, being led by the United States.
Alex, they're not strictly speaking devaluations, because a devaluation is what happens in a fixed exchange rate system where the exchange rates are fixed and then one day a government announces that it's devaluing its currency. What's happening is that the countries on pegs to the dollar, like the Chinese, their currency goes down with the dollar, as long as they're on that peg. And there are a number of countries that are on pegs with the dollar. I think, for example, the Saudi Arabian currency, for example, is pegged to the dollar. And there are others. And then you have the phenomenon that as people move away from the dollar into other currencies, those currencies rise. And so they're subject to a revaluation.
And that's what we're seeing with Mexico, with the peso now rising against the dollar, causing all these problems. So sir, boiling it down, and I understand, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what's going to happen, but generally, historically, you know, dealing with these types of economic systems, A, have we ever seen this type of bizarre configuration before? And B, where do you expect this to lead? Because, you know, the media can say unemployment's 9.6, but yeah, you and others have said it's over 22. Even 60 Minutes says that, you know, with their own analysis now. So that cat's more and more out of the bag. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say here is, I mean, just as a layman sitting here on a log watching this happen, I see everything I'm buying. I see food going up. I see taxes going up. I mean, I see education going up. I mean, every indicator I've got, gold, silver, I see it going up. So, I mean, where are we going?
There's excessive creation of dollars. There's no doubt about that. And it's putting a pressure on other currencies that are rising. And so what other governments do to keep their currencies from rising relative to the dollar is they sell their currencies and buy dollars, even though they don't want dollars. But they do that in order to keep their currencies from rising. Now, if the whole world is doing that, then the dollar is going to survive a lot longer. You see what I'm saying? If you're Switzerland, for example, and the Swiss franc is rising to the dollar. You know, The other day, a dollar was only worth about 95 Swiss cents. It wasn't even worth one franc. Well, the Swiss say, how are we going to sell our machinery, our chocolate bars? And so their central bank goes into the market and sells Swiss francs in order to drive down the price. And then they buy dollars in order to support the price.
Well, there's no doubt then this was designed. And so where does it end? Because
no, I don't think it's designed at all. This is these are the reactions of other countries to the dollar's
decline. No, I know, but the Federal
Alex,
Reserve.
Alex, let me explain. You asked me to explain it.
Go ahead.
So the net result is you have the whole world creating too much money, not just the United States. The Swiss then have to do it. The Mexicans will have to do it. So everybody starts creating money to prevent their own currency from rising. So you get a massive impact on prices from everywhere. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. Obviously, the Swiss aren't planning it. My point is, the Federal Reserve knows it's holding people hostage. I mean, I've seen the economists brag about the fact.
Alex, let me get on with this, because I don't know what the Federal Reserve knows. I'm not sure they know all that much. And I think what the Federal Reserve is doing, they're desperate. They don't know what to do. The economy doesn't go anywhere. No one in Washington, including the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, has figured out that you can't stimulate an economy with stimulus programs when all the good jobs are moved offshore. There's not a whole bunch of American factories standing idle waiting on spending to call the workers back to work. The factories are gone. And so the real dilemma the Fed has is that monetary and fiscal policy, with which they're familiar and have traditionally used, it doesn't work on an offshore economy. And so they don't know what to do. And so what they're trying to do is to cause a bit of inflation, because they believe in the Phillips curve, that inflation brings about economic growth. It causes growth. So they're trying to be a bit inflationary. They're not sure what the effect will be on the dollar. And they are completely prepared, in my opinion, if the dollar starts going rapidly. They won't mind a slow, slow, slow process. But if it starts moving so rapidly that it is destabilizing, immediately, then they will announce the end of the program. Or they'll announce something else. And as long as people are listening to the Fed and going according to what the Fed says, they can continue this process of trial and error for some time. And I think that's what it is. I don't think it's a conspiracy on their part to destroy us, because it destroys their own power. They've got nothing to gain. And certainly the United States government has nothing to gain from losing the dollar as the reserve currency. It's its main source of power. If the dollar wasn't the reserve currency, we couldn't possibly conduct these wars and interventions. And we use the supremacy of the dollar to intimidate other countries. So they're not trying to destroy the dollar, even though that is going to be the result, possibly, of their policies. So what are we faced with? You know, when people look around, they look at the deficits, they see that the economy is not recovering, so that the deficit projections we've already been given, which are huge, are likely to be revised upward. They'll look worse, implying more deficits, more Fed buying of Treasury debt, more concern about the dollar and prices, and all of that will tend to drive the dollar down, gold and silver up. It also tends, as we said, to drive other currencies up, and then some governments try to offset that by inflating their own currency.
So where does this go down the road then? I mean, a slow process is their plan, or is what's happening, but can't this get out of control? Doesn't this in history normally get out of control?
Yes, it can get out of their hands. It can get out of their hands, but you know, and this is something we have to be aware of. And I think this is why some people now are trying to have more people than usual. You see, if you look at people who are buying gold and silver now, they're not the traditional gold bugs, you know, or whatever they call them. the more people are doing it. Just ordinary people are starting to want to do it. And so I think there's a general uneasiness everywhere about paper currencies. And I think even countries like Switzerland, which have always tried to maintain, you know, a sound currency because the government there represents the people at least as much as it represents the vested interests and the oligarchies. And so it tries to prevent inflation. But even the Swiss feel this pressure to inflate their own currency so that it doesn't rise so much so fast to the dollar. And so if you find, you know, even the Swiss pressured by this to inflate, you can see that the consequences could be a world inflation of
all
a
right,
massive sort.
Doctor, we've got to go to break. I want to come back and continue along this line and also want to get into the overall tyranny, your take on the elections we just had. These are incredible times we live in. And either way you slice it, things are going to get really rough. We'll be right back. We're going to open the phones up in the next hour. I'm going to get into the other economic news and all the aftermath of the election. We're going to get Dr. Roberts' take on the election. He wrote an article about it that we were lucky enough to get to post at Infowars.com. It's the impotence of elections. And I agree a little bit with that. But the fact that real issues of monetary policy, the private Federal Reserve being discussed, the fact that that so many of these real Tea Party candidates had the Republican and Democratic establishment coming after them, I think this is very exciting. But I don't think it's going to fix things overnight. But I think it's more bona fide than the fake Obama revolution. What's happening is the American people are sitting there hitting the reset button, reset button, reset button. And so the fact that the public gets disgusted with politicians in a matter of months when they're new and not in a matter of years shows that there is an awakening happening. But Dr. Roberts may be more pessimistic than I. Finish up with anything on where you see the economy going, Doc, and then let's get into the election.
Yes, I think the election is important to say something about. Alex, as you and I have discussed many times, what the United States needs to do is to bring the jobs that have been offshored back home in order that the economy can start up again. And they can only do that by changing the way they tax corporations. They need to tax corporation according to where, that is the location, either at home or abroad, value is added to their product. So if they're adding all the value to their product in China or India with low-paid foreign labor, they should have a high tax rate. Whereas if they are producing at home for American markets, they should have a low tax rate. That would offset all the advantages of the cheap labor and the reduced regulation and so forth that they get abroad. That, of course, would shrink the trade deficit by the amount of the offshore goods, which is probably about half of the trade deficit with China and a substantial part with some other countries. So that would show a shrinkage in the trade deficit instead of a continual growth. This would reassure people about the dollar, and you would have less flight from it and less pressure on other currencies. The other thing they need to do is a domestic budget deficit, because the whole world knows that a $1.4 trillion deficit and rising can't be financed year after year after year. Even if the money multiplier is broken and the banks are sitting on the reserves, the net effect is going to be inflation and destruction of the dollar. And so they've got to get the budget deficit under control. The only way they can do that is to stop the wars, They would have to simply stop the war, slash the military budget. And that, again, would show people, hey, look, the deficit is going down. They are serious. We can stick with the dollar a while. We can pull in our horns. We can be less nervous. And that would give the United States a chance to recover. If they don't do those two things, it's finished. I don't know how long it'll take, but it's finished.
And we've got these vested corporate interests that feed at the welfare trough.
Right. Exactly. And they're going to block it. The military security complex isn't going to let them cut the budget. Neither is Wall Street going to let them overturn offshoring, because the offshoring produces so much extra profits.
Short term.
That's right. Short time.
Sir, we've got to go to break, but I want to throw this question out at you so you can answer it when we come back. You'll be with us till 15 after. We have most of the breaks at the end and start of the hours for listeners that are just joining us. But Rand Paul has said, cap the deficit, cut taxes, do the things you're basically talking about. And they're now accusing him all over the media, saying he's going to cause the depression. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I was talking to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, economist, best-selling author, former Wall Street Journal editor, father of Reaganomics. For stations that just joined us during a break, and he said, look, well, I said, we're going to hell in a handbasket. I guess the basket's been dropped off the cliff, but it's bouncing down the cliff, and we don't know the exact route. And he said, exactly. And so that's a good way to boil it down. But he was just basically recommending the exact same things that Ron Paul, the congressman, and now his senator's son are recommending. And you notice they're the two people really being demonized by the controlled left and right. And so anybody that injects common sense sanity to this is demonized and attacked. And yes, most of the new Republicans and most of the Democrats, they don't want to discuss any of this. And so that's it. We've gone to hell in a handbasket here. Dr. Roberts?
Yes, Alex. I think that what we need to understand is something about the political system. The political system is unbalanced. And again, that was a result of offshoring. Because offshoring, which moved offshore the industrial and manufacturing jobs, diminished substantially union membership and union finances, so that the Democrats lost their unique independent source of financing. You know, when they had the unions, you had political competition. You know, the Democrats represented a social safety net, Social Security, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, the sort of things that put a floor under lives and keep income from just shrinking away and being gobbled up by the rich. The Republicans then represented business. And so you had political competition. But when the Democrats lost their independent financing because of offshoring, they now are dependent on the same sources of finance as the Republicans. So you've got one party with two names. It doesn't matter who you elect. It doesn't matter if you elect a Tea Party candidate or not, because once the Tea Party candidate is elected and in Washington, the new member understands that to get reelected, it has to bend to the will of the oligarchy. If it fights oligarchs, it's out in 2 years. It has no money. It can't finance itself. They'll pour all kinds of money into their candidates' campaign.
Well, to interrupt, that's what Senator DeMint in the Wall Street Journal said. He quoted former Senator Lott saying, we're going to co-opt these people as soon as they get here. And DeMint called it bribery. But when you're able to get somebody like DeMint or somebody like Senator Rand Paul, that does scare the system, because they're in for 6 years and it's such a powerful position that they can get grassroots funding from what's left of the middle class.
Well, I don't think there's enough of those people to change anything, and there's unlikely to be. So to the fact is, there's one party with two names.
So how do we fix that?
And, well, the only way you could fix it is you would have to take political contributions out of the elections. And how are you going to do that? They're not going to pass that. You know, they're not going to say, oh, yes, let's take away all our money. And the powerful interests are not going to allow them to pass that. So probably can't be fixed. You see what I'm saying? The political system is broken. It can't be fixed. It will have to fail. And I think the same will be the result with the economy. I don't think the people in charge have the perception, the understanding of the problem to be able to fix it. It's, you know, generals always fight the last war. And they're still thinking in terms of Great Depression or post-war recession, and they're trying to deal with the economy that way, but it's been offshored. Those economies weren't.
Doc, this was a short segment. This was a short segment, long segment coming up, final segment, for you to be able to finish up with that and then get into the overall police state, because that is our new economy. Our new economy is police state. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who's with us for the rest of the segment, I want to get into the police state, but I just want to say this right here and not after he leaves. He is a top economist. He has a lot more knowledge than I do about the specific scientific financial systems. They claim it's a science. And so I'm probably talking out of class here, but I'll just say it. I have studied the Trilateral Commission's own reports. I've studied Club of Rome, UN, and the mega corporations are playing a game of consolidation. And if they've got to physically invade a country and kill a million people to take it over, they'll do it. If they've got to give DU weapons to the troops to win it, they'll do it. If they've got 500 mobile radiation vans that are frying the people that are operating them, not just the people inside the houses, they'll do it. And you can see this debt black hole they've created that's impossible to pay back. And the Federal Reserve's meeting, you know, to celebrate their great victory this weekend at Jekyll Island 100 years ago, back in 1910, they met there. And looking at it, it's delusional, kind of like Nero setting fire to Rome or, you know, Hitler invading Russia. There's a lot of chutzpah here, but there is a method to this madness, and they're announcing this new global bank and SDRs and carbon taxes and VAT taxes to form the next bubble. And they're destroying other currencies. They're destroying our currency. I can't see it any other way than it is engineered. But you were at those highest levels or very near them of power. And I don't know what's more scary. If I'm right and it's designed and we see them all getting record bonuses and profits, everything else imploding, am I right? That's pretty scary. Or is it even more scary that they're out of control? But it doesn't matter, Dr. Roberts, because doesn't it take us to the same place?
Yeah, that's why I don't really worry about whether it's a conspiracy or not, because it's not, in the end, it's not going to work for them or anybody. Because the system is going down.
But Hitler launched Operation Barbarossa into Russia. They just do it.
People make mistakes. That's the human condition. And so that's another reason I don't really worry about long-term conspiracies. I think there are a lot of short-term ones. But to keep a conspiracy going through the ages without making mistakes is probably beyond human potential. Now, maybe they're all aliens disguised as humans and has super intelligence. But, you know, if you look around the mistakes people make, even smart people, even people like you and I, we make mistakes. So to think that they can keep a conspiracy going for decades and decades without making a mistake is not likely.
Well, we know they have the program for world government.
Look, I still wonder how they're going to get China and Russia to go along with it. or South America, which is breaking away from the system. You know, if you look at it, you see more and more people breaking away from American dominance.
No, I agree. Zbigniew Brzezinski 4 months ago addressed the CFR and said just that.
But let's go to one other question. Let's about the left wing. I really don't think there is a left wing anymore. I think in America, the United States left wing was destroyed by the political and economic collapse of socialism, communism. And we had the triumphal end of history, you know, democratic capitalism. And this triumphalism destroyed the left. This is why there's no real resistance to the police state. There's no real resistance to the wars.
Well, notice the left hasn't even talked about Obama reauthorizing the Patriot Act 3 days ago.
But there's not any left. I mean, there's a very mild, watered down left, but it's nothing like it once was. And that's because the destruction of socialism, communism, the triumphalism of democratic capitalism, the end of history. And so, to put balance back, I think democratic capitalism is going to have to go through a crisis. I think we're seeing that begin in the with the economic deterioration. The Fed Reserve doesn't seem able to forestall. You know, the huge stimulus program did nothing for the economy. This is unusual. The enormous expansion of bank reserves have done nothing for the economy. Interest rates are practically zero. The economy is not recovering. This is sort of out of bounds of what they are used to. So we see an economic crisis that they can't apparently handle, and it seems to be getting away from them. Politically, the fact that there's only one party, we see the rise of all this anger in the Tea Party candidates. They don't really know what to do or what they're angry about, for the most part, most of them, but they're angry. They know the system doesn't work for them. My recent column that you posted, The Impotence of Elections, explains why the system doesn't work for them. And so if you get people, if you get a population in which the economy doesn't work for them and the political system doesn't work for them, you get collapse or you get revolution or things fall apart. And then all of a sudden, the triumphalism of the end of history, the supremacy of democratic capitalism, that fades away.
All right, let me stop you because I want to get into the police state that, that integrates into all of this, Dr. Roberts, in the 6 minutes we've got left with you. But when I read the Rand Corporation reports that are public, most of it's secret, and I look at this, they talked about the service economy being security 12, 15 years ago, back during that period. And so the fake right is trying to replace the economy with surveillance, prisons, control, you know, a gulag economy, as Max Kaiser calls it. Then the so-called left, their answer is the, quote, green economy that's a wet blanket on already dead industry. And so I do see the establishment putting forward plans after this latest phase has, you know, destroyed us economically. So they are putting out their plans, and we know what it is. It's naked body scanners. It's checkpoints. It's threat fusion centers. Can you speak to your article, Might is Right? Because we have the New York Times columnist, Joe Sharkey, talking about being screamed at, being made to basically be strip searched in front of people. They're now announcing, if you don't want to be naked body scanned, we're going to literally squeeze your genitals. Yeah. This is an act of humiliation. This is an act of domination.
Well, yes, this is the consequence of 9/11. there's no doubt that we're having a police state. In fact, I think the real reason we have body scanners is because of Michael Chertoff, whose firm represents the body scanner manufacturer. And note the coincidence between the implementation of body scanners and the underwear bomber. Now, when I heard about the underwear bomber plot, I thought, now this is staged. If the mighty powerful Al-Qaeda can attack the Pentagon and the World Trade Center and outwit all the intelligence agencies and blah, blah, blah. Why would they reduce themselves to an underwear bomber focused on a mere airliner? That's a huge come down. It hurts their reputation. It's kind of like after you're a great boxer and you knock out the champion and then you go start picking on 10-year-old kids. It's just, it doesn't help the image. So I think the whole thing was staged. They needed Chertoff, who was, of course, head of Homeland Security, now represents the body scanner industry. They had the body scanners all made. They were all made, ready to go. They needed an excuse. Without an excuse to terrify the people, how is the government going to ram this type of invasion of privacy down people's throats? So they concocted the underwear bomber. And then now Chertoff's made more money selling these body scanners. So that some of these explanations don't require anything other than greed, just normal greed. This is the way things happen. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have a police state. We certainly do. And it's no doubt getting worse. But since I've been so pessimistic, let me say one thing that's hopeful. Sometimes power alone isn't enough. Remember the Soviet collapse. They had a police state. The Communist Party was as powerful as any aristocracy ever, all kinds of special privileges. They had total power, and yet they let the system go. It really wasn't overthrown. What had happened was all the years and years of frustration and failure and all the terrible stuff eroded the belief of the people at the top who had the power in the system. And they just were willing to let it go. Gorbachev, Yeltsin, they just said, to hell with it. And they walked away from it. It fell. And these types of things can happen. They take a long time. But it does show that there is always something operating other than raw power and mendacity. And always in the short run and in the intermediate run, raw power, mendacity, brutality, evil, all of this can prevail. But in the long run, it seems to turn the stomachs even of the rulers.
It starts rotting.
How do you explain the collapse of the Communist Party, the Soviet Union, the most powerful body that ever existed?
Dr. Roberts, we're almost out of sure. We're almost out of time, and I'm skipping this network break to finish up with you. But I just wanted to back up what you said when you mentioned your gut telling you that was a staged event with the underwear bombing. We now know that Anwar al-Awlaki supposedly ran all of these events, and he was meeting 2 months after 9/11 when he was the number three in al-Qaeda secretly at the Pentagon with the top brass. That's even on Fox News. I mean, this is really becoming so transparent.
Yes. Well, I think that if people catch on to that, it helps to accelerate the lack of confidence in the political system that we already see signs of, if we said, with the Tea Party. And we certainly are going to see people losing confidence in the economic system, because if the Fed doesn't seem able, even with its most extreme measures, to bring the economy back or even to stop its continued deterioration. So we may see a serious deterioration in the economy over the next 3-6 months, next year, which will show helplessness on the part of these powerful people. And if that's the case, you'll see a lot of loss of confidence, not just among the population in general, but among those pulling the strings themselves.
Well, Doctor, final question, and we appreciate your time and your great columns that you put out sometimes multiple times weekly. And I also want to briefly talk about your new book, dealing with what's happening with the economy. And we have links to it at Infowars.com at the bottom of all of the articles that you write on a wide range of subjects. But I think in the middle we meet in that. From my own research, the ruling class is a group of competing mafias, And they think they're in control, but really they're not, as history shows. And as it's revealed that they're not in control, I mean, they can steal and destroy and start wars, but they're not in control. They can wreak havoc. And I wanted to get your psychological view, because you've been around a lot of these people, you know, in Washington over the years, you've studied it, that there does seem to be a wild mental illness now of just crazy hubris that we see with criminals, where they love to brag, to have them openly admit that Anwar al-Awlaki's hanging out at the Pentagon, to have them come on Fox and CNN and admit our government gives the fertilizer to the Taliban to grow the opium and the production's off the charts, to see the CIA tell the Washington Post, yes, we make fake bin Laden videos, and yes, they were. I mean, there's this just, you know, going before Congress and saying we won't say where the trillions went. It's almost more than just a hubris. It's like a flailing or a catch me if you can. I'm the gingerbread man. I mean, what do you say about this? Just this out in the openness about so much of this now.
Well, Alex, hubris always leads to destruction. So I think that look, this is far more hubris than Hitler. Yeah. Showed by marching into Russia. this is more extreme.
He almost won.
But the kind of hubris we're seeing that you just described is extreme hubris. And so it's going to come unglued. I think it will come unglued. But it doesn't mean we won't suffer tremendously as a consequence. It doesn't mean there won't be prison camps and people won't be put in them. But I think the system is right now showing more signs of failing than succeeding. That's just my opinion.
It's showing signs of complete mental illness, megalomania.
Well, how are you going to succeed in that type of a situation? Now, you know, possibly they can brainwash everyone, but as I say, it's hard to brainwash people who are out of work, out of homes, out of prospects, out of hope for their kids' prospects. They're hard to, I mean, you can say, oh, it's the Chinese who did it, or you can, you know, point fingers and you can keep them blaming the wrong people, but nevertheless, they still realize the system's not working, whoever the government is telling them to blame. And if the government is so full of hubris as this, the kinds of mistakes it will make will be dramatic. There'll be dramatic mistakes. Hubris always leads to big mistakes. And the more you report that kind of hubris and see that kind of hubris that you described, the more likely the mistakes are going to grow in magnitude.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, and I think it's a mistake for the system when we say we don't want naked body scanners. Homeland Security, and this is in the New York Times, screams at you and puts you through the scanner and then grabs, I mean, they're saying, we now grab your breast, we now grab your genitals, and they're all over the news saying you better go through the scanner or we're going to call you out in front of everyone and we're going to make you pull your shirt out. And we're going to, and literally on the news, that it shows people grabbing women's breast to the point of, my children have never flown, my wife hadn't been on an airplane in 9 years, I'm forced to fly to. And but I mean, we don't go anywhere now. And maybe that's what they want. But I mean, you know, look, you're not going to put your hands between my wife's legs. I mean, I saw them, Dr. Roberts. And
Alex, I'm sure this is all outrageous. But, you know, if you're Chertoff and you have huge sums of money involved in the success of body scanners, you're going to use all your influence connections to make the TSA oppose strongly anyone who resists body scanners, because money's on the table, on the line. So they have that reason to do it. You also have the fact that many of the TSA people, like unfortunately many police, are bullies, and they enjoy power and they enjoy intimidating people and abusing them. And then you even have some who are naive and believe that we're under a terrorist threat, and that anybody who doesn't want to go through a body scanner must be a terrorist. So between all that, you can get these types of terrible situations. And it really remains to be seen how much the people put up with. You may have seen that recently the chairman of British Airways said all these checks and things were pointless.
And then magically they get hit with toner bombs, and there's bombs going off all over Europe right now.
Yeah, well, that's right. The printer bomb or the printer ink cartridge bomb, that's to shut up the British Air Chairman, Heathrow Airport, the European Union, because, oh, see, you're soft on security.
Italy just pulled them out.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I think people need to protest much stronger than they do. I think it'll take a while for the Americans to do that. You see, the Europeans have a history of opposing tyranny. And we just sort of inherited freedom with the Constitution. We've never had to fight our own government. And in fact, the British really weren't all that tyrannical. They were trying to get us to help pay for the cost of defending us against the French and Indians. But nevertheless, the United States population has not had to fight its own government over the centuries to obtain freedom. But that's what's happened in every European country and in England. The people got freedom by fighting their own government. So they have a tradition of resisting. We don't. So well, that's why you see all this uproar in Europe over things that here just sort of passed without comment.
Because we think we've got freedom, so we don't recognize it when it's taken. Just going back, and we're going to let you go, sir, to hubris. Imagine, you know, we see the old film clips of Nazi Germany and them getting people out of trains or buses and just making people show papers. Americans saw that. Europeans saw that and said, that's tyranny. Soldiers on the street is tyranny. You watch Mexico today with soldiers on the street. That's tyranny. Now that's what America is, and they're going further. Imagine if Hitler had people on newsreels grabbing women's breasts and men's genitals as a way to, and they admit, to intimidate you to go through the scanners. I mean, it's just, it's insane hubris off the charts. And if we beat them on this, if we can remove the scanners, they know their entire police state will start crumbling if we have this victory. So it's more than just the billions they're making, and it's tens of billions overall. Yeah. It's also about forcing us. If we can make the suckers do this, we can do anything.
Yeah, I'm all for winning over defeating them on the scanners and on anything else. And you know, Alex, I remember those movies. I was just a kid. And what I was always struck by was the politeness of the Gestapo. Your papers, please. And the threat was always there only if you didn't have papers. If you had papers, and please, there was no threat. So really, the Gestapo was much more polite and gentle.
Doc, I'm going to come back and plug your book. Stay there. We got to come back and talk about the book and finish up your point.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Coming up for about 20 minutes, start of the next hour on election fraud, we've got Bev Harris popping in, a premier researcher dealing with that, and she's found a lot of evidence around the country. I'm going to open the phones up after Dr. Roberts leaves us here in a few minutes. The toll-free number to join us on the quantitative easing, what it's doing to the dollar, on all the important news is 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. 31, and we'll get you up and on the air. And I've got a bunch of other news, like BBC report, a large Hadron Collider researchers set to create mini Big Bang. And they admit that as they do these thousands of tests, it could trigger something that destroys the planet. But they're going to go ahead and do it. That's hubris. It's kind of like with the Manhattan Project, the majority of scientists, and they're on record, thought that it would ignite the atmosphere and destroy the Earth or burn off the atmosphere. It didn't do that. Then they tried to fire, in one case, over 60 in a group of tests the Air Force did, nukes into the upper atmosphere, trying to blow holes in the atmosphere. I mean, this is out of control lunatics running our society. And then they tell the people that are sane, who just, I'm not against science, but say, hey, you might not want to stick, you know, your finger in the light socket. They say, we're the danger. Or some printer cartridge bombs. We have to give up all of our way of life, all of our freedom, and have our wives and children fondled by perverts. And a lot of them are being caught as perverts. But finishing up with Dr. Roberts, we're going to let him go. I appreciate him being with us for now, an hour. Finishing up with, yes, the German newsreels of papers, please. Here, I saw a checkpoint a month ago in a neighborhood, and I pulled up 100 yards away, walked up politely. They had a tent out. And I said, hi, officers. I was even charming to the state troopers. And a guy came over, screamed at me, and said, get out of here. And I said, well, I was just asking what's going on. And he just literally screamed at me like I had run over his child or something. And I said, man, you really are arrogant. You love power. And this, you know, this is a police state. And he's basically like, yeah, it is. Now get out of here. And I said, okay, trooper. And he said, it's Sergeant Baker to you. And he was just seething with enjoyment. Now, some of the troopers kind of looked embarrassed because this was their Napoleonic boss. But it's doesn't that fool understand that if he's been given all this undue power, those above him have, and this is a recipe for disaster.
People go into police services because they like power. And so you get an unbalanced personality in that type of a job, and that makes them more dangerous than the power they have alone. You know, I've had a number of emails or letters over my career as a writer from policemen who say they've quit the force because you can't be a good cop anymore. Now, I don't know if they're exaggerating. But I have had a number of these letters of people who say that it's just like Frederick von Hayek's point in The Road to Serfdom. He has a chapter on why the worst always get on top. And the real reason is that power, the ability to exercise power, attracts the worst. The people who want to exercise it over others, to be bullies, to be abusive. And so you concentrate people in those professions who are in that way unbalanced. And they tend to drive out the good members of the force. And over time, we'll probably see this in the TSA. This TSA still has many polite people. I go through often, though I haven't experienced the body scanners yet, but I go through often and hit very polite people. They're very gracious and polite, and they're moving things along. And at times I encounter, you know, a person who's inclined to be, you know, officious and looking for some chance to be abusive. But I suspect over time the polite ones will be driven out. And this is just the consequence of power and its attraction to people of that kind of personality. This is why some people say that what the TSA is really doing is training a huge Gestapo force that's used and accustomed to violating people's rights.
No. That's what Governor Ridge in 2003 in a two-hour piece I watched on C-SPAN. He said, we're going to have Viper teams on the streets. We're going to have this in shopping malls. We're going to have mobile vans. And now Homeland Security, I have the training videos. I'll send them to you. In fact, guys, send him that training video that we've got where it says at football games or the theater or to hear a rock band. They've got these giant 18-wheeler trucks, trailers that you walk into. They naked body scan you. They put a brain scanner on you and ask you questions that show if you're lying. And they ask you if you're a terrorist or if you have recording devices. So bringing a cell phone's illegal. And they admit that this training is training the public to accept being searched and being humiliated.
Well, then,
and
it's that's exactly what I said.
Yeah,
I agree with you. That's exactly what's going on. And as long as people accept it, and think that it's making them safer, it'll continue. You know, the people have forgotten the warnings of the founding fathers that you can't trade your rights for safety. Because the minute you don't have your rights anymore, you're not safe. And that's the issue before the people. They've got to stop letting their rights go in order to feel safe. And they have to start seeing through some of these orchestrated terrorist events. I don't know that all terrorist events were orchestrated. By now, there must be some terrorist, given the way we treat them. Treat the Muslims. It's got to produce terrorism if it didn't already exist. So, but surely there are going to be orchestrated events that help them achieve their agendas. People need to catch on at some point. I don't know how much indignation and humiliation they will suffer before they catch on, or if they ever will. But, Alex, I think we've covered the waterfront. And
absolutely. Tell us about your latest book, and we're going to let you go.
Well, we've talked about it. It's the book, How the Economy Was Lost. And what the book explains is what the precise problem is, not all the BS you read in the financial press. And it shows that it cannot be fixed unless offshoring is addressed. And then it says how you can address offshoring. And of course, it shows there's a rise of a new class of robber barons that essentially are doing all the things you say, ripping off the people, worsening the income distribution in the favor of a few mega rich. And it's all written in simple terms for, you know, like my columns, not in economic jargon. There's no formulas, there's no economic words that people don't know what means. So anyone who wants to get a real grasp on what they face and what the problem is, and once they understand that, they can see whether it's being addressed or not. See, if you're in a situation when things are going to hell, it helps you know whether or not the authorities are actually succeeding in addressing the real problem, or are they addressing some made-up problem.
Phantom menace.
It's a diagnosed problem, or are they creating problems with their solutions? So the book is helpful to people, and it's not, you know, it's inexpensive. It doesn't cost anything.
Absolutely. And in all your stories at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, there's a link to Amazon to get it. And we'll put it back up on screen, too, for TV viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv so people can actually see the cover of the book. And it's got a long title, but give folks the full title, Dr. Roberts.
The main title is How the Economy Was Lost, and there's a subtitle, The War of the Worlds.
God bless you. We look forward to speaking to you again, Doc.
Okay, Alex, I appreciate talking to you. It's always an experience and enjoyable.
God bless you. Have a good weekend coming up, sir. All right, there goes Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Look, I've got – what happens is I read through all this news, and then I get on air, and it's just like, oh, do I want to tell them about this? But I want to go to Carlos, Joe, Mark, Wilson, Joe, and others that are patiently holding there. I also want to thank George Norrie for having me on for 2 hours last night. And I hope I did a good job. I've never been on Coast to Coast AM while I'm sick. But people have been getting emails thinking it was the best interview I ever did. So I guess it's good when I'm six. So I just shut up a little bit. Excuse me. But I'm just completely overwhelmed. You know, I don't hate petty, out-of-control bureaucrats and cops on power trips. You know, 10 years ago, I hated them. And because I was more primitive then, I'm still primitive. Now I just feel sorry for them. And I feel sorry for how they dehumanize themselves in what they do. And even worse is the people that are sellouts. You know, all I've got is my word. All I've got is my integrity. And that's why the system always attacks it, because they know I've got it. They always want to undermine that, just like with Ron Paul, who I know has 100% integrity. 100%. I mean, he's totally real. Rand, I think, is a good guy, but we'll watch. But I wouldn't sell my integrity. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. I make mistakes and then later see it and go, whoa, I shouldn't have done that. But most people now that are in the power structure, they don't even think about it. They say, that's the ladder to power. That's the ladder to money. That's the ladder to status. And they go, okay. I mean, they are diving after the brass ring, but it's a ring of enslavement. I had read this before, but Aaron Dykes brought it into me. It's out of Bloomberg today. Geithner visited John Stewart in April, though not for laughs. And Geithner met with him secretly, and they said, you're influential. We want your help with things. And you notice that it goes on to say that the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange is his brother. Stewart's real name is Leibowitz. His brother's Larry Leibowitz, chief operating officer of the New York Stock Exchange. So COO, not CEO, excuse me, chief operating officer. I mean, what an insider. And he gets up there every week and makes fun of 9/11 truth, just like Glenn Beck. See, that's the big one. If somebody, that's the litmus test, okay? If you're not for, there's several litmus tests. If you're not for the Bill of Rights and Constitution, you're an enemy of the Republic. Every single one of those people are enemies of the Republic. Period. Your enemy. If you are for the Federal Reserve, you're an enemy of the Republic. And if you won't talk about government-sponsored terror, you're not real. And John Stewart, John Leibowitz, is a joke. And I hope all these people that have sold their souls for lies, I hope it's worth it, okay? Because it seems like 5 minutes ago, I was 4 years old. I'm 36 now. Probably got the body of a 45-year-old. I've had a lot of bones broken, my head knocked around like anybody else. And I know it's 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be probably have an open heart surgery when I'm 82 years old. 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be gasping for air, dying on my deathbed. All I've got's my integrity. 5 minutes ago, I was 3 or 4 years old in my mind. I know how short this life is. And what does John Stewart have his little stupid meeting on the his rally to restore sanity up there at the Lincoln Memorial? He said, have fun, relax, you know, go shopping. Everything's good. No, everything's not good. Everything's not okay. I mean, you know. Is John Stewart been let in on the eugenics? Has he been promised the life extension? Let me tell you something. We Are Changed released a video last week of John Stewart's people. 9/11 Truth got up, very politely asked him a question, said, why do you demonize 9/11 Truth? And he said, because I don't believe in it. Then they went outside, we're handing out literature, and these thuggish gangsters come out and began screaming and cussing and shoving and punching people, and one of them was arrested. And when you see the hatred of these people, this is a mafia. And to hear all these people tell me how good John Stewart is because he makes jokes about everybody. So some guy who likes to bully people around and who enjoys bullying people. I mean, let me tell you something. Somebody who is quiet and friendly and nice, painting your house, and who wants to reach down and pet your puppy dog, that's a person who can probably rip your arms out of your sockets. okay? People that have real power would be embarrassed to use it to hurt people. I mean, cops and TSA people triumphing over little women you boss around. I mean, I'd rather die than act like that. I'd rather die than behave like that. You know who I want to fight? I want to fight the biggest guy in the room. Because that's the only way I can actually get it going. I don't understand just the cowardice, the weakness of scum. And I don't know why we let scum run everything. I don't understand it. But I'm not like them. Hell, I'm not perfect. But at least I can recognize the good from the bad. I can recognize the beautiful from the ugly. I know what's wholesome and I know what's wicked. And I choose good. Period. I don't need all these different preachers telling me things and fighting with each other for the market share of, you know, Christendom. I don't need all the philosophers. I don't need any of it. I just know this. I'm with the good guys. That's all I know. Is that I want to be good. I want to help people. I want to be honorable. And when they lower me into the ground or when they burn me into ashes, however it happens, I just want my progeny to be able to look back and be proud of me. Not for me, but for them as an example, for them to be good as well.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
Carlos in Louisiana, thank you for holding, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, Alex, I really appreciate you taking my call. I agree with 98-99% of everything you say. I'm glad someone is doing it. You're definitely doing it in the biggest way. You don't have to do it at a personal risk to yourself, to your family. And I appreciate, as a black person, what you're doing, even as a white person, and I'm couching that color in particular on purpose, because you do not have to do what you're doing. You can be just like the establishment, just like the establishment government, just like, as a white man, you have no reason to bring all of this on yourself. You could just go along to get along and be like Glenn Beck or somebody else. And I'm telling you that it is important, because I want to emphasize that, because I want you to take what I say genuinely as a person. I'm not a civilian. I'm in this. I've had a show here in Baton Rouge for 6 years on the access cable that was cut off because of bringing out certain information about city officials, and we're now trying to jump to the Internet. So I'm just prefacing my comment because I want you to know that it is coming from an informed person. I do not support Obama. I didn't vote for Obama. I'm not fooled that Obama is any different from Bush. He's absolutely the exact same thing. And he puts a nice face on it, and he's an attempt to calm the population down and to, you know, ease it in, you know, without as much resistance. So that's, but I hope that I can get this out, and I appreciate you not fielding your calls and screening your calls. But this thing with this election, this Tea Party, yeah, absolutely. I think you lose credibility a little, I don't know to what degree, by not acknowledging that it is so obvious. There are true libertarian people that are classifying themselves as a Tea Party movement. I agree with that 100%. But there's another part that is absolutely 100% anti-black. Let's get rid of the black president. All these people who are...
Sure, well, that's why they put Obama in, was not to bring people together, but to have him do a bunch of unpopular stuff and then couch it because, oh, look, he's a black communist, which he is, and he's a black globalist. He's part of the elite. But and I'll hold you over if need be, and we're going to get to everybody. But I need to say this. Carlos, it is an illusion. It is a lie that if I'm a white person, I'm part of the elite. A lot of white people believe that, and they feel like that they're part of the system. And there's certainly people that are racist and don't like black people that are in the Tea Party. The reason I have said, and it's a subtle issue, so some people misunderstand what I'm saying. This Tea Party movement was started by Ron Paul, doesn't have a racist bone in his body, who wants to bring real liberty and has good policies, and it has been taken over partially by Republicans. But we've gone from the Republican gatekeepers denying world government existed and all this stuff was happening a few years ago to them at least having to pay lip service to it. That's mainstreaming our info so that we can wake people up and actually have a debate about the real issues. So you thank me, and I'm going to hold you over. We're coming back in a minute, 70-second break. You thank me, you know, because I've made a choice. Look, when you know they're putting sodium fluoride in everybody's water. I mean, they're shooting up white kids and black kids with these vaccines. Listen, they hate everybody. Let's get that straight.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Bev Harris is hot on the trail of election fraud. We're going to get a quick update from her, but she's still learning more. So we'll have her on for one segment. Then we'll continue with Joe, Mark Wilson, and many others. I'm trying to hurry through your calls. But a call like Carlos bringing up really important issues we need to spend some time on. So I want to spend the rest of this 5 minutes, this little short segment, with Carlos calling in from Louisiana. Carlos, you know, tribalism is powerful. And, you know, you've got groups of black kids out at you know, fairs, you know, killing whitey. But I don't then go out and be scared or hate every black person because there are some groups of black people that feel wronged and think that, you know, white people are the devil. You know, that's why I always say, you know, Chinese aren't evil. Germans aren't evil. Jews aren't inherently evil. Black people aren't inherently. We all got red blood. We all love our children. But black folks have been the testing ground, just like Native Americans have, for all this stuff. And they have gotten a lot of white people to go along with the inside club of, oh, look, we're going to, it's kind of like in The Godfather, you know, I want the drugs kept in the colored areas. You know, they're animals anyways, let them lose their souls. You know, that's really been the policy. And no, black people aren't animals. And the minute that we start, that's how the system sees all of us. So I look at a black child and I feel a need to protect them and love them as much as a white child or anybody else. For anybody who hates white people or hates black people, look at a child. But you'll notice why the Nazis, and I've also seen the new Black Panthers, different from the old Black Panthers that were actually good at some level. You know, they always talk about we got to kill their babies, because the baby, you know, and we've got to kill their women. They're the military manufacturing center. These eugenicists, whether they're black, white, doesn't matter. They always go to the direct level of let's kill their babies, because if they can get you to think about killing somebody's baby, then they're really going to get you to hate everybody. And so we got about 2.5 minutes left. You've got the floor, Carlos, to comment on what I've said.
Yeah, I concur with everything you said just now and before the break. But just like you said, the tribalism, this whole thing is fun, is pushed forward. It's just like the Tea Party candidates that I'm speaking of that I do not consider to be libertarian. They're not going to do anything different. They're all funded by corporate money. But because there's this appearance of let's get rid of the black president, we're going to take our country back from the black president, he's no different than Bush. These people didn't have anything to say about the Homeland Security Act, the Patriot Act. They didn't say anything about the John Warner Act. They didn't say anything about rendition. They're not saying anything about
just like liberals aren't saying anything about Obama and the Patriot Act because he's their guy. It's all window dressing, as you've said. But, you know, record numbers of white people voted for Obama because they wanted to show they weren't racist and they wanted to show that there was going to be major change. So, look, I'm a white guy. I mean, I grew up in Dallas, black friends, you know, whole nine yards. And I never really heard a lot of race stuff. Now, whenever I tend to go up north, and I think folks up north are great, that's where I hear all the race stuff. But believe me, I've been hanging around since I was a little kid with rednecks deer hunting. I never hear a word about black people, you know, in a negative light. Now, I've run into trashy, poor white people who, you know, don't have three teeth amongst five of them who have this religion. I've worked in the countryside summers and had local Klan people come up to me and say, you better get out of this Dairy Queen Yankee. And they're just, it's a gang. I mean, that's all it is a gang. And instead of it being blue or red, black people killing each other over colors, it's like we're in a gang and there ain't no black people around here to get on top of. So you need to get out of here, Yankee. Meanwhile, my family literally was involved in founding Texas. But I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, Carlos. God bless you. I appreciate your call. Bev Harris, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
She's just joining us for this little 13-minute segment. We appreciate her time. We'll get her back on next week as she learns more traveling across the country. Bev Harris is an American writer, activist, and founder of Black Box Voting, Inc., a national nonpartisan nonprofit elections watchdog group. She helped popularize the term black box voting while authoring a book on that title. And, of course, she's an investigative journalist as well, featured in the New York Times, Washington Post, Time Magazine, Associated Press, NPR, and the website's blackboxvoting.org. And she has broken many national stories, catching Republicans and Democrats red-handed. And you know, in the last few days, I've gotten a lot of emails and calls, and I've seen comments saying, Alex, why are you siding with the Republicans? Why are you coming out and saying there's election fraud? Well, I was called a Democrat because clearly it was stolen from Al Gore in 2000. I hate Al Gore. He's a eugenicist. He's an elitist. He's a hypocrite. But, I mean, if the election's stolen from him and it's evident, it's a fact. I don't sit here and go, well, you know, I'm going to stay out of this. Same thing in 2004. Clear fraud. I can't stand John Kerry. But I can't stand George Bush. I just tell the truth. And I've seen evidence of election fraud mainly by Democrats, and I'm sure in Republican-controlled areas it's going on as well. We just tell it like it is, and it seems whatever party's in power, and Bev can correct me if I'm wrong, whatever party is predominantly in power, that's where you're going to see the fraud from, and that's just common sense. I mean, that people that are in power want to stay in power. Bev, I mean, am I right in saying that?
Well, yeah, you hit it on the head. And what people don't realize is, you know, the places where has been the most evidence of fraud are local races, like the sheriff's race, county supervisors, county commissioners, you know, those are where the money flows through. One thing, you know, the sheriffs control drugs and guns and things like that. And the county commissioners control the construction and things like that. So election fraud is actually about power and money. And sometimes it's just about a business plan, but it does not really have to do with which party it is other than who has control of the strings.
Absolutely. You're still investigating, and you don't like to announce things before you're done. This will go on for the next few weeks. But what are the hot spots for fraud?
Well, you know, I Washington State, my home state, I get to hang out there for a little while. I'm very interested, and I called it. I said that, you know, watch Snohomish County. Snohomish County has got about 300,000 voters. It's just north of Seattle. It's the north suburbs. And I said, you know, this is the one I think more so than King County this year. And we've got a full-on absentee race, too close to call. And here's what's happened now. On the east side of the state, that's what they say is mostly remaining to count. Well, the east side of the state, right now the Democrat is leading because they counted a bunch of the west side of the state. Now the east side of the state will go to Rossi, and so it's going to bring them up neck and neck. except for Snohomish County, which is in the west side of the state, and Snohomish County has not reported its results yet. So, you know, I'll betcha, I called this early, that it's going to wait until the east side of the state reports its result, then they'll know how much they need to bring in order to defeat Rossi, who's the Republican. I mean, this is how absentee voting works. It's really sad because it's so much after the fact, and they have all this time to just tinker, just the amount that's needed. And when you see a key county for one candidate hold their results, and this goes for late election night results, too, by the way, in non-absentee states. When you see one particular strategic location holding their results until the very end, what are they doing? Well, quite often, they're figuring out how much they need.
Absolutely. And you did, on election day, call the state and the county, and you're saying that's to go against a Republican. And again, I'm not a Republican because I'm reporting on Republicans being cheated, just like I'm not a Democrat because I'm reporting on Democrats being cheated. We just cover the facts here. Speaking right. of Sharon Engel and Harry Reid, well, no, you were trying to say something. Go ahead.
But let's go ahead with Sharon and Harry Reid. Obviously that has had numerous problems. First, Clark County, Nevada, that's had problems going back 10 years at least, probably more than that in terms of election problems. And then you've got, the pre-marked votes for Harry Reid. And then you've got Harry Reid's son involved in, having too much say-so over the key county, Clark County. So it's a problem. Given that, I will say that the spread is pretty large. I believe last time I checked it was, 10% spread. And it is at least more challenging to achieve a large spread when you're tampering a race than a small. It doesn't sound like, theoretically you could. On a computer, you can make the numbers anything you want.
Well, Clark County is 74% of all the votes in Nevada. So if you've got that county, you can do whatever spread you want.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. And also, Las Vegas is quite hard to call in terms of its demographics. It's just this particular election, in fact, has been hard to call because you've got Democrats crossing over to vote for Rand Paul in Kentucky. You've got, Democrats not turning out in a lot of places.
But regardless, may I have to interrupt you because I want you to go back to that. Regardless, you shouldn't have his son, the county judge, running elections with 74% of the votes cast in that county where Las Vegas is based. You shouldn't
Absolutely
have the
not.
Union that's openly in Harry Reid's hip pocket running the machines. It's very suspicious.
Oh, yeah. Well, just like Jeb Bush running Florida back in 2000 when his brother was running. And he goes on and says, I think everybody remembers when George Bush was on TV that night, election night, and he was behind, and he says, my brother's there. Like, they haven't finished counting. My brother's there. You don't want your son, a situation where the son has anything to do with counting votes for the father. And that whole situation, yes, it pretty much stinks.
But it's funny, Sharon Engel isn't calling for an investigation.
What I find is the candidates and their campaign managers really don't understand what's going on very well, and they don't understand what is suspicious and what's not. And she may look at that, but then they look at some other thing and are reassured that everything's fine. The only thing that's really going to tell us what happened in Clark County, Nevada, is the databases. And the databases, by the way, courts are now saying that they have to release the databases. That's been adjudicated now in several states. State after state, 100% of the time, the courts say they have to release the databases. And those databases do tell us quite a bit of the story. But without those databases, we really don't know. We have no idea whether the votes were flipped, added to, subtracted from, or what happened.
But with the database, unless they're really good at covering their tracks, correct me if I'm wrong, you can go in and see when they snuck into it, and you can find out that it was basically hacked, but it's always from the inside.
Always from the inside, and yes, you can see quite a bit. In Tennessee, we were able to see that they were in their running results reports over and over and over 5 days before the election. We were also able to see from looking at the database that they were uploading votes the day before the election from polling places. you heard me.
Wow.
You know, then I was, oh, we were testing the machine. It was just blank votes, nothing to worry about. Well, then why did you have it on a secret database that was off to the side on a separate computer? You know, so you can find a lot. You have to get all the databases, every iteration, in other words. Now, when they have these databases that control the election, they are supposed to save and back up the database every so often. That's fine. They should have a lot of those. But you want every iteration, because what I've found every place I've done this is that they also have various databases that are supposed to be the same thing. In other words, multiple sets of books. That's very bad. Using that, you could make your own whole election, you know, and say, oh, we're going to substitute this database in there. Getting the databases in Nevada would be a high priority.
All right. Now, Bev, we're very gracious with your time. We're going to let you go here in a moment, because I know you're still investigating and hot on the trail of this, but we've only got a few minutes left. Any other information you want to impart to people? What's on your radar?
Well, one thing I think is interesting in terms of what's happening in Alaska with the hand recount, or the hand count. It's not a hand recount, it's count, because this woman, Murkowski, has done a write-in campaign. You know what that forces them to do, don't you? That forces them to hand count the ballots. I think that's very interesting, don't you?
It is.
Yes. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting wrinkles. Typically, we don't start to really get things uncovered until, you know, 8 to 10 days after the election it starts to really unravel, because it takes just that much time to sort out the data and even get the data.
Well, we're just blessed to have you crisscrossing the country, and people should go to blackboxvoting.org and support you any way they can. Bev, how are you getting support these days for the great work you're doing?
It's only from citizen donations. We don't have any corporate sponsors. We don't have any political. We have no government grants. We need to stay independent. So it's a lot of small citizen donations, and that's kept us alive for 7 years now, and I hope it will continue to.
Well, you're doing invaluable work, and the 1 minute we've got left, I guess we should have you on then in about 2 weeks for maybe a full hour to really go down the different hot spots that you've discovered. Here's my final question for you. Is overall election fraud getting worse, or is it getting better? I know that's an oversimplification, but I mean, is it getting worse?
Yeah, it's getting more concealed and hard to find. Well, I won't say hard to find, but it's getting harder to get at, because it's it's very complexified, I guess we could say that, where they've made the process so complex that the average person doesn't know what to ask for or how to get at it. And it's such a specialization now. I can really only name about 5 people in the country who do what I do and who can figure out what's going on. And that's not a democratic system.
No, it's not. Blackboxvoting.org, Bev Harris. We'll set it on the calendar to get you on in about 2 weeks. God bless you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Your phone calls and a ton of news straight ahead. Joe, Mark, Wilson, others. Stay with us. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Many days we go into overdrive. We're going into overdrive tomorrow with a special guest in studio. Rand Paul coming up next week. We're here. All right, you've held long enough. I got some other news I want to hit in the 36 minutes we got left. But Joe, Mark, Wilson, Joe, others, we're going to get to you. Joe in Minnesota, thanks for holding her on the air worldwide.
Yeah, I would like to see a politician finally say, hey, look, I'm a puppet, but I'm the best puppet you'll ever have. And then another thing is, our forefathers died for this country, and it's a shame what they're doing to this country that they died for. President Bush, his dad, you know, they have a lot of security. Like, I know you don't advocate violence, but a long time ago, you know, the back American Revolution.
I don't advocate offensive violence. The British government came to take the guns.
We have to go after the president and his dad.
All right, get rid of him. That's provocateur. Come on, man. No, we don't want to go after the puppet, George Herbert Walker Bush or George W. Bush. The globalists would get so much gas mileage out of that to clamp down on this country. I mean, are you, Joe, this is not some backwater internet show with 50 listeners. Do you understand there are millions, upwards of 2 million a day or more that listen? You are so stupid to call into a radio show and say things like that. This isn't a game, pal. And now he'll say I'm an agent because I can't handle it. Mark in Texas, please don't say what Joe was saying. You know, before we go to Mark, you heard Carlos earlier at the end of the last hour saying, thank you so much for not screening calls. But then there's this whole internet legend and lie that I screen calls. There's no internet legend about the shows that do screen calls. There's an internet legend about my show screens calls because we don't, unless I have a guest on a particular topic or I say we want police to call in. You know, every few weeks I do something like that, or I want doctors to call in, or I want folks from Kentucky to call in. But we don't screen your calls. And then Joe calls in and says something like that. It's crazy. Mark in Texas, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. We are, and I know you always say just to be thankful for what we're, or just get after it. You know, I'm looking at trying to do things on my own, and I'm realizing I need help to get real results, and I'm leaning continually on that 4 a.m. thing that you're doing with God. And I know we've talked before about the Hebrews 9 thing, and the Red Beckman fella, I've looked at that several times. He talked about that as a need to look at the concept of a will and testament, because of the founding fathers leaving something that would keep us a little bit safe from the government getting too big and all the...
And it wasn't perfect, but it was the best thing ever. Mark, what's your final point?
Okay. I wanted to remind people that you were on the show last night with Nori, and that it'll replay tonight an hour before the regular broadcast. The last hour of you will replay. So I don't want people to remember that they can listen to that tonight if they were asleep, because it was the latter part of the show.
Did you hear
night.
The show?
I didn't hear all of it. No, I had to get some rest.
How did it
too,
sound? Because I've never been on radio with 16 million people when I was sick.
Well, I don't worry about stuff like that. I've been in the health field for about 15, 16 years.
No, I understand, Mark, but I'm saying, a lot of people say it was one of the best interviews he's ever done with me.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think the power of what's going on there, I think it's helping, you know, and I think...
It's helping white people up. Mark, I appreciate your call. I'm trying to get to everybody or we won't have time. Wilson in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Alex, it's always good to talk to you. I just want to start off by shouting out my good friend, John Graham, listening in New York, because it's always good when my friends call in and listen and care about what's going on, because I tell them to call in when I call in the show. And I just have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Could you please explain to my friends and me what the effect of now Ron Paul in the senator seat in Kentucky is going to have an effect on America?
Well, you notice the Republicans went after him in the primary. For people that don't like the Republican establishment, I'm all with them. You notice they went after him. Then the Democrats went after him, threw every lie they could at him. And he is saying abolish the Federal Reserve, erect, systems to try to protect our jobs, and to basically cut the defense budget. And that's why he's being demonized, and that's why the media has a talking point that he's going to cause the depression that we're already in. And so now, I actually have an article here, a video clip actually up on Infowars.com. I'm looking for the exact headline. But Ron Paul, here it is. Ron Paul talks ending the Fed with help from Senator Rand Paul on Fox Business. And that's up on Infowars.com, the video clip of that. Ron Paul explains how it's going to help. Again, it just, people say, well, that's only a few people. But it shows we can get a beachhead. We can win. Okay, we'll be right back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
You know, even though I'm exhausted and got a sore throat and a cold and didn't get any sleep last night because I was on Coast to Coast AM, I almost feel like going into overdrive today because there's so much news and so many great calls, so many great people to talk to, but we won't do it today. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do 4 or 5 hours tomorrow. You take my life, but I take yours too. Fire your musket, but I run you through.
take your fire musket, but I'll run you through. So when you're waiting for the next attack, you better stand, there's no turning back.
My sister's in there laughing.
The sounds, the charge begins.
But on this battlefield, no one wins. And that's the key. We don't need to fight with each other. You have this tiny scientific elite using the fractional reserve banking system and now the derivative scam to take over the planet. They're openly killing the dollar and sucking down the rest of the world economy with it. This is happening. Everything that the globalist planned is now unfolding. Do you realize the key time in history that we're alive? I like this part of the song coming up right here. Crank it up.
The horse is with the thing we bring to God. The manual of the Russian guns. And as we race toward the human wall, the stupid brain has become wasteful. We hurl our bodies that lay on the ground. And the Russians fire another round. We get so near yet so far away.
Tell you about a few great sponsors, and we're going directly to your calls with some financial news in the balance of this hour. We've got a great sponsor that's been on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com for a while. You know, if you want a passport to get out of the country, we fought the RFID being put in the driver's license and the passports, but now they're there. If you're going to carry these around with you, you better get an ID stronghold. They've got systems for credit cards, for IDs, for passports, you name it. Protect your identity. You know, they've had even PBS documentaries where you can ride around in San Francisco, Dallas, Texas, two of the cities, and just drive by people's houses and businesses or cards and grab their Social Security number, everything. And the government did that. They are creating a system that is going to cause people to have their identity stolen. And then their answer is face scan, thumbprint with the card for authentication. They're creating the crisis to offer the solution. But as a stopgap against that, ID Stronghold, IDStronghold.com. Just ID in the word Stronghold.com. Check them out today. And one last great sponsor is SafeCastle LLC. I'm proud to welcome these great folks to the Infowars.com family. You can check them out at www.prepared.pro. That's prepared.pro. You can also get to their site at PrisonPlanet.com on the banner. On the right-hand side of the page, these folks have been in the readiness business for almost 10 years. They're fond of saying they're in the business of selling steel-plated peace of mind. Want to bury your guns, want a safe house, want a bunker, want a, you name it, they got it. They sell everything you need to defend yourself. Prepared.pro for professional crisis preparedness assistance. And I believe in it. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, let's go to your calls as quickly as possible. Joe in South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, two things. One, I wanted to let everyone know that this Friday is the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November. We're going to be out sign-waving for Ron Paul, 2012 national sign-waving. And we're going to hold signs that say Ron Paul for Speaker of the House and Ron Paul for President in 2012. And we're going to be in Florence, South Carolina, but we want people all over the nation to do it. And we're going to be at Five Points at 4 p.m. And the other thing I want to do... talk to you about is everything that's going on with the Federal Reserve. I talk to people at work about it and tell them what's going on, and I'm sad to say that a lot of people don't even understand what the Federal Reserve does or what they're all about, and I really think people need to get on board with the Ron Paul thing, because then they'll hopefully educate themselves on the whole evils of the Federal Reserve.
Well, you're right that the Federal Reserve is the cancer. There's a lot of other problems, but it's the big mother load. It's the source of the metastasization, and we've got to inform people. We've got to explain to them. See, the system pre-inoculated us psychologically that there's no global bankers, there's no private Federal Reserve, there's no CFR, there's no elite groups. Anybody that says government is dangerous and should be controlled is crazy. Well, that's what America is. We're not perfect, but we're the best there ever was because we have the smallest government. And because government is the conduit through which the robber barons come in and loot. We've got to get rid of it. It's us or them. Thank you, Joe. TJ in Georgia, you're on the air.
I had a quick question about the body scanners. So what if you go into the airport and, you know, they tell you to, like, that you have to go through it? Like, what can you say or do so that you don't have to go through it?
You just say opt out, and then they will scream to embarrass you. Opt out, and they will get you and pat you down and put their hands, you know, palms forward up there and violate you. And they admit in the news, it's in New York Times today, they're doing it to make you, I mean, they're literally social conditioning people. Don't let them beat you up and kill you, because they've done that. You tell them, listen, this is ridiculous. Anwar al-Awlaki on record, you just start preaching, and then they'll push you right through. And I've been waiting for them to do it to me. Anwar al-Awlaki, the head of al-Qaeda, meeting at the Pentagon, this is all stage. Chertoff, the former head of Homeland Security, is making money off this. You know, I've gone through the metal detector. There's nothing on me. By the way, officers, I know they brought you behind closed doors, TSA agents, and ask you if you had a problem with the scanners. And if you said you did, you notice your coworkers were gone. Do you realize you're being radiated thousands of times what individuals are, because you're there all day while this is happening? And you just tell them. And you're going to feel good. It's good to stand up, but in a calm, focused way, like you're the boss. It's not yelling and screaming and freaking out. It's, let me tell you what's going on here, officer. You've already got these metal detectors here, and that is filled with radiation, even according to, you know, mainstream news. And do you realize the health danger you're under? You know, why don't you have a union? Why aren't you worried about this? And no, you are not going to touch my genitals. Okay, you can wand me all day long, but again, that's what you do. That's how you handle it. Anything else, TJ?
No, the only thing I have to say is I appreciate you, doing what you do and spreading the word. I'm trying to do the same thing myself as a college student, so thank you.
Well, TJ, you have incredible power. You know, I woke up 17 years ago. I like the Alan Watt quote. He was born awake. It was a child seeing things. We're all born awake. And the world teaches us how to not be awake. They put us to sleep into a trance. But I was always awake to some extent. But 17 years ago, I really woke up. It took me 2 years to get on air, Access TV. Before I figured out to go on Access, I couldn't get on radio or even basically intern. And here we are 15 years later, and we're having a big effect. We're being demonized by Nightline, MSNBC, one of the biggest magazines, probably the biggest magazine in the country, is coming to interview me 2 weeks from now for a cover story. And, you know, I'm stepping up to the plate. I know it's going to be a hit piece, but that's fine. Because I want to talk to that agent. I want to talk to that minion. I want to look him in the eye and say, you know, you got a family. So just know what you're doing. Because I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever comes down the road. Doesn't mean I'm going to like it. Doesn't mean I'm going to enjoy it. Doesn't mean I'm not a coward somewhere deep down like anybody else is, but I'm also a hero deep down like everybody else is. And when you exercise resistance to tyranny, you grow stronger. And when you realize none of us are getting out of this alive, and that the only thing you got is that you are going to stand up for what's right, it is empowering. And that's why when I was in San Jose last Tuesday, Aaron had to unpack all the cameras because he was the one carrying them. And he had to put them back. So that took 10 minutes after he went through. They didn't put him through naked body scanners. And then we got coffee. There was a coffee place right there in front of the checkpoint when you go through. So we got coffee. Wasn't time for the plane yet. And I sat there for another 10 minutes. So probably total 20. And not one man was put through all these naked body scanners. It was like four groups of them. It was all women and children. And I was looking at the guys on power trips and the TSA people, and I was physically wanting to go over, you know, I was physically drawn to go over and say, do you realize you guys are all being radiated here? Look, you just put a three-year-old. One of the kids was in a stroller. That's kind of like moms wheel three-year-olds around in strollers because, you know, the three-year-olds are lazy. Part of their behavior problems, you should make them walk. Just from my experience, you start getting your kids exercise, the behavior problems disappear. I was watching them roll three-year-olds through, and I was like, I was in the Twilight Zone. I mean, I'm in the Twilight Zone here. And I saw them looking at me looking, and I just looked at them back. I was hoping they came over so I could say, you're all being radiated, but I had to get my plane, had to get back. It's just too much to handle anymore. I mean, it's just, I was watching pure evil. It had nothing to do with stopping terrorism. Give me a break. It's all staged. Let's go to Casey in New York. Casey, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
You were great on the radio last night, coast to coast. I listened to both hours.
Well, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, George definitely seems to be a bit of a fan of the movement, even if he can't say so directly.
Well, let me just say this. George stuck his neck out 7 years ago having me on. I'm going to leave it just at that.
Absolutely. All right. A fluoride issue. I live in Suffolk County on Long Island. We're like outside of New York City. We don't fluoridate the water here. There's no fluoride in the water. They don't,
only 69% of the country fluoridates. There's county maps of it on the federal Department of Health Human Services site. And the government will spend, I've seen cases in tiny counties where they'll spend $3-4 million just to get the county to do it. Because, you know, they care about our teeth, Casey.
Yeah, but you know what? Long Island is filled with dentists and doctors. You would figure that if it was good for you, they'd be pushing for it.
No. Anywhere the elite are, even mid-level people, if you study, because they have documentaries about it, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, the Queen of England, the House of Windsor, as its brand name is known, they have their own farms all over the world, and their food is all prepared and sent directly to them. Everything is filtered. They don't even eat at restaurants. Or they go to a restaurant that they sell food to. I mean, I've even read this in Vanity Fair. Of course, they're poisoning everything. People say, well, the elite are getting hit by all this. Well, if it's chemtrails, they're reportedly then given the treatments to counteract it. But everything else, they avoid.
Well, here's an interesting fact that goes with the fluoride issue. The show Law and Order, right? It's filmed in New York City up until this year. They had an episode. They've changed the show to make it more technical, to keep up with all these technical cop shows that are on, where they basically, it's all forensic, the entire show. They've added this a little bit to the show, so now in the beginning of any murder investigation, they go right to the crime lab. And they had a woman who drowned, and the investigator was like, well, look here, we don't have an ID on her because she's been in the water too long, but see her teeth? She has fluoridosis, which means she grew up in an area with no fluoride in the water. You should check people from Europe. And I'm like,
but what's insane is fluoride, that's caused by fluoride in the water.
But the whole thing is why aren't they looking at Suffolk County? It's only 30 miles away. Why do they got to go all the way to Europe?
Well, you know why they promote all this forensic stuff. One of the corrupt most, and we've had Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, former head of the FBI crime lab, on, got to be 10 times over the years, about once a year. In fact, let's get Whitehurst back on. And Whitehurst says that most crime labs are fraudulent. And so they just train everyone that if the crime lab says so, it's true. Most crime labs are complete frauds. They just stamp guilty, guilty, guilty. They say, what result do you want? The prosecutor says, we want to find their blood there. They don't even need a blood sample. They'll just say, they'll take a blood sample from you and then put it in their sample, and that's the end. I mean, that was O.J. Simpson. Obviously has problems. Who knows whether he did it or not. That's not the issue. It came out in court that the vials at the police department have a chemical in it to preserve the blood so it doesn't rot in the tube. It's standard on any blood draw. And that chemical was in the blood sample they had. They had gone and gotten a blood sample from him when they arrested him. They'd gone and sprayed it around, and that came out. I mean, so, I'm for the death penalty, Casey, and I appreciate your call. Great points. I'm for the death penalty in a free world, but you can't trust the system to implement a death penalty because what, it's come out that more than a third of people on death row are innocent? I mean, the folks, I was a pretty straight-laced kid. I mean, I got in fights a lot. That was the only bad thing I did. I sped in the car, and I womanized. I mean, I'm not perfect, but compared to people, I wasn't doing drugs. I didn't like marijuana when I smoked it. I didn't steal anything except, and I've been honest about it, you know, there was a neighborhood golf course, and we would occasionally, the older kids would hit us up, older kids love to manipulate little kids. Like when I was 12 years old, go down there to the golf carts and steal some beer because all those golfers were just bombed out of their mind. So I've stole beer, you know, out of golf carts a few times. But the cops one time called me in at the high school because I knew the cops were dealing drugs. I'd talked about it, and they said, "You've been stealing stereo equipment." And I said, "That's ridiculous. I haven't stolen anything." I haven't told the cop. I said, "I stole beer 5 years ago." And they just said, "Well, you just better shut your mouth about talking about us." They were a bunch of drug dealers. But I've already blown the time to take calls. We're coming back in the final segment. Paul in Jersey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Steph. Two quick points. One is, I don't know if you've discussed this already, but John Boehner voted for TARP, and he begged the entire House to vote for TARP.
No, Boehner's bad news. We need Ron Paul for the speaker.
And Bachman didn't vote for TARP, and I think as long as Boehner's excluded as an inevitable choice.
Yeah, to be clear, we don't want Boehner. Michelle Bachman's better. Ron Paul's the king.
Yeah, clearly. I agree. And also, I came across a product called Jupiter Jack. It's $9. You plug it into your cell phone, and when you call the listen line, if you put your stereo in your car or any other radio to 99.3, it plays the listen line in your car's speakers. And you can play it full volume. Instead of having to, like, you know, listen to it on your cell phone, you can play it through your car stereo at full volume, and it just sounds much better.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, in fact, what is the listen line? I always forget the listen line. We have a free listen line that's sponsored by it's sponsored by eFoods Direct, isn't it? Because I know it costs us about $4,000 a month, and they sponsor us for $2,000, so I lose on the listen line, so I lose $2,000 a month on that. That's why to reach people costs money. It's why I'm like always, buy this, buy that. You know, it's products I believe in, but also I got this meter running. You know, I thought I had 20 employees and contractors. We just did the math. 27. No wonder I'm burning through money like it's confetti. But thank God people are supporting us, buying the books and videos at Infowars.com. Great points, Paul. You know, I could talk to you callers all day long. We'll see who we can get to. Well, I got good news for Adam, Mark, Shane, and Dan. I'm going into overdrive. You know why? We're not going to show her for our privacy. Michelle, one of the great customer service ladies that works here in the office, when you call and buy books and videos or ask about an order, that's who you talk to, her and Janet and Matt. She said, "I just heard you on the radio talking about the naked body scanners." She was gone a few weeks ago. She went on vacation to Colorado with her wonderful two daughters, who are just great little sweetie cakes. And they grabbed the daughters. They put their hands between her legs. They grabbed her breast. And, I mean, I've got it right here in the news. Opt out of a body scan, then brace yourself. New York Times. ABC News says they now grab your genitals. But it's ladies and gentlemen, again, this is how we're not connected to each other. This is going on to people in my office. And I told you, I was in San Jose. It was only women and children. They know that they won't opt out most of the time. Men will. This is such conditioning. We're going to go into overdrive into the fourth hour, but I wanted to bring Ted Anderson up because gold, correct me if I'm wrong, is at an all-time high today, all-time high. It's getting right up there close to $1,400 an ounce. Silver is at its next all-time high. It was almost at $26 when I just checked the segment before last, about 25 minutes ago. Ted, where is gold and silver right now?
Well, gold right now is at $1,384.20. It's been as high as $1,384.50. Silver did break $26 an ounce. Seen a high of $26.03 today. Right now it's at $26 on the nose. Alex, it is just jumping.
And I mean, called you last, actually, you called me and we said, well, gold and silver will be up tomorrow because they've announced they're going to devalue the dollar. I mean, this is a no-brainer, Ted.
It sure is. And the funny thing is they tried to manipulate it down when they first came out with that QE2 statement yesterday. It was on Tuesday. And they were able to be successful for only about a day and a half. And then it just got away from them. That is just amazing that they're just losing control. I mean, gold is reflecting what fiat currency does. You know, they don't want their
That's
fiat.
Why they hate it, because it's the one chink in the armor that shows how it's all a fraud. Ted, I want people to get involved in gold and silver. And if the deals you've got, I've seen it. You buy the gold and silver when it's down, sell it when it's up at a lower price. I know you got 3-4% markup on these radio specials. And now with the market up, you lose money on those three silver dollars and three of my films. For $87 shipping included, that's almost $160. What is it, $157 value for $87? You've got that deal. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. They got great deals, but they're not this good at MidasResources.com. Most of the MidasResources.com deals beat the other major brokers and dealers. But these radio specials, I'm here to tell you, I can't find a better deal. Briefly, Ted, we got about a minute and a half left. In this third hour, tell folks some of the other gold and silver offers, because, yeah, great.
They better move before midnight on these ones. We have Frank's at $297. They do get the full year subscription to the newsletter if they want that. The British Sovereign Gold Coin is at $372. All the stuff has gone up in price. Everybody came to me, hey, you're raising the price on the Walking of Liberty halves? I said, I can't today, probably tomorrow. $1177 on those, you just can't beat it. $20 Liberties, if you want those, $15.99. They broke over $1,600 already. $10 Liberties, $8.25. I mean, we also have U.S. Eagles. We have Canadian Maple Leafs. We have bars. We have junk silver. I mean, we got the whole gamut. If you have an IRA, whatever. I mean, the time to get involved in gold is now. I mean, that handwriting is so on the wall now. The fire is like at the door. Are you going to leave the house or are you going to get burnt down in it? It's just too bad that we're traveling the direction that we are.
Ted, we've said it 100 times or more. We wish we weren't right. I mean, it's scary to be right, but gold and silver is the place I'm at. That's what I've done for our limited backup funding for this operation. And, you know, gold I bought at $300 an ounce, haven't sold it. Silver I bought at $5 an ounce, haven't sold it. It's and we haven't had the capital. I haven't bought any in a while. A little bit of silver because we just don't have the money. But, folks, you need to get involved today. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. Hour number four coming up. Ted, thank you for popping in with us.
Thanks.
We'll be right back live. Stay with us. Dykes is freaking out right now out in the hallway. We just learned about him injecting children, men, women in Guatemala with live syphilis. Now he's got AP headline, did U.S. infect Haiti with cholera? Man, I tell you, pure evil. But notice they say the U.S. No, the criminal banks that run this country. In fact, experts, did U.N. troops infect Haiti? So he said U.S., U.N. troops. Haiti researchers should determine whether United Nations peacekeepers were the source of a deadly outbreak of cholera in Haiti. Two public health experts, including a U.N. official, said Wednesday. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that the strain of cholera that killed 442 people in the past 3 weeks matches strains found in South Asia. The CDC, World Health Organization, United Nations say it's not possible to pinpoint the source of the investigation further would distract from efforts to fight the disease, so they can't investigate that. Let's go back to your phone calls. Up next, who's up next here? Because Matthew in Texas, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to let you know that this is my first time calling. My cousin Jeffrey Allen Heinrich, he's in Houston right now. He's the one who introduced me to your documentaries, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's what I've been doing all my research from, and I just wanted to call you today to let you know that I have sent over not only your documentaries to our local news broadcasting stations, but I sent over a lot more information that I have, like, researched personally.
Some of those seeds, Matthew, will fall on the rocks. Others will be eaten by the birds. But many of those seeds you throw out will get in the dirt and will grow. And so just keep broadcasting, keep sowing the seeds of truth. It's unstoppable.
Right. It's all over my Facebook page. Actually, that's the only reason why I have it, is just to get out certain information. But I have a concern and a question. why is it so difficult to change our systems? Why can't we bring back the greenback? Why do we have to have a debt society when we can just say, hey,
well,
this
no,
is not
I mean, that's what
us.
Lincoln and Kennedy tried, and you saw what happened to them, because there's vested interests that want to control the issuance of currency and credit because they get to rule everything. And that's what Rand Paul and Ron Paul and myself and many others are trying to do, and that's why we're under attack, because it's that simple thing. It's in the Constitution that the Congress controls the issuance of currency and credit, not private bankers.
And the only thing I'm saying is, like, once that happened, once the Kennedy assassination happened, I'm sure the public knew that exactly what was going on instantly. Like, he just exposed people. He just got killed. This should have been a massive riot, a massive national strike. And
but we bought into that lie, so now they fondle our women and children. Michelle, who works here, I'm not going to say her last name. She's willing to do it, but I'm not going to. I've known her for 5 years. Michelle opted out of the naked body scanner. She's coming up in studio. And so they fondled her and her baby. She has like a year-old baby and her eight-year-old daughter. They grabbed her daughter. I mean, I can't even say it on air. They put their hands on her private areas. I mean, this is America, and they do this out in the open, and they set the precedent. You know, there's no radiology laws. There are laws. They just ignore them with these machines. I appreciate your call. I got Adam, Mark, Shane, and Dan. I guess I will go to 30 after an overdrive because I'm going to have Michelle in studio. Then I'm going to try to jam in Adam, Mark, Shane, and Dan. But you guys got to have your comments ready. I want to hear from you. Just to be quite frank with you, I got sick Sunday. I could barely talk on the Sunday show. And then it got a little bit better. And then Tuesday night, I got a fever. And then last night, I did coast to coast and got basically no sleep. I'm not complaining. Now that I've gone into overdrive, I can broadcast for 10 more hours. Just I've got to go home and get some sleep. I got to get better. Because you notice at the start of the show, I could hardly talk. And just over time, I'm able to drive through it. But I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, I can't go forever.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is Thursday, the fourth day of November, 2010. We're into overdrive in the fourth hour, doing a full fourth hour tomorrow with a special guest in studio. Again, none of this is my opinion. I saw Governor Ridge in 2003, right as Homeland Security was being given cabinet power, announce that they're going to have naked body scanners at every baseball game, every football game. We've played those videos. Homeland Security years later announced it. It's 18-wheeler trailers. They march you through. They put you in a brain scanner and ask you questions. They say, do you have bombs or do you have recording equipment? As if recording a concert is terrorism. So they mix terror with just normal activities, having a cell phone that records. And when I was in San Jose last Tuesday, flying back from Santa Cruz, where I gave two speeches, I've told the story, but to recap, I sat there for about 20 minutes after I went through the checkpoint. It was a coffee place right past it inside the gate, watching nothing at four checkpoints, at four lines, but women and small children in strollers being put through naked body scanners, being bathed in radiation. It violates your Fourth Amendment. Now they're saying CIA to Al-Qaeda women are going to have breast implant bombs. This is what they're telling TSA. So they want chest x-rays, and they've got to squeeze. And it's been on the news. It's called enhanced pat-down. Even if you opt out, they do this. But now they're saying, no, we're going to put you through naked body scanners and do this. They're training a giant Gestapo cadre that it's normal and natural to do this to people. Now, they can get you to submit to this. People getting inside your comfort zone, they can do anything. Now, we've got a Paul Craig Roberts story at Infowars.com. Might is right about all this. But we've got the New York Times today by Joe Sharkey. What's happening is members of the establishment or wannabes are finding out about this. It says, opt out of a body scan, then brace yourself. Having been taught by nuns in grade school and later going through military boot camp, I have always just liked uniformed authorities shouting at me. So I was unhappy last week when some security screeners at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago started yelling, opt out, we've got an opt out. One bellowed about me in a tone that people in my neighborhood in Tucson usually reserved for declaring rattlesnake. Then they go into them squeezing his genitals and everything else. Now, here is the New York Times. Pat-down or full body scan. Security gets more personal in airports. As TSA changes airport pat-down procedures, some ask if security's gone too far. Oh, has it gone too far? Next time you pass through security in some airports around the country, you may face a difficult dilemma. Would you rather have a revealing full body scan or, as some are calling, X-rated pat-down? Some passengers opt out of the full body scan, concerned about the low dose of radiation emitted by the high-tech body scanners that are being put in place at many terminals. And what about your naked body being recorded or your Fourth Amendment? The machines are also able to see beneath clothes and create a photorealistic picture of the passenger's body. Yeah, your genitals, everything. But for those who refuse the scan, an alternative pat-down is about to get equally thorough. Then a day after they reported this, on October 28th last week, they said everybody's going to get a pat-down now. And it's not, and they go on. Starting Friday, the TSA is changing to use the fronts of their hands to search more than ever before, in some cases touching body parts that were once off limits. Now, it goes on. When I was there, I was watching children and women, and I was watching three-year-olds with men on little girls putting their hands between their legs. Now, I walked out during the break 15 minutes ago, and Michelle, we're not going to show her for her privacy. She's worked here for 5 years on a great job, customer service. I know her daughters well, play with my children, great people. Michelle went to Colorado for a trip 2 weeks ago with her two daughters, and the same thing happened to her. And she said, no, they grabbed my breast, they put their hand between my legs, and they tried it with her daughters, and they did it because she wouldn't be radiated. Now, Michelle, we've only got a few minutes left in this segment. You've got the floor. Tell people the account of this molestation that you and your one-year-old daughter, or how old is she now?
20 months.
Here, lean forward towards the mic.
She's 20 months.
20 months, so almost 2 years. And how old? I'm not going to say her name. She's eight or nine?
Eight.
Okay, same as my son. Let's go over exactly what happened. Describe it as you know, what happened.
Okay, so we're walking through security in Denver Airport, and they make you take off your shoes and put everything on the conveyor belt.
You're coming back to Austin.
And after you take off your shoes and put everything on the scanner, they have you walk through a metal detector. Well, after they have you walk through a metal detector, they want you to go to the naked body scanner. Well, I was told here to say I opt out. And so I said, I opt out for me and my children. And so they yelled real loud, we have an opt out. And so they pulled us off to the side, and they start at your ankle, and they work their way up with hands on both sides of your legs. They get to your private area. They, you know, feel your private area, work their way down to your other leg.
Let's be specific. They touched your...
They touched. And it was not back of hand. It was... palm.
So this is something your husband would do, but now it's a man. That's the key.
It was a male officer that patted me down. I would not allow a male to pat my children down, so they had a female come up.
But think about the taboos they're breaking. A man, I mean, you touch a woman, you walk up in a park and touch a woman on her genitals, you're going to prison.
Exactly.
I mean, that's sexual assault.
And so after they finish the lower half of your body, then they work their way up your sides, and they go down your arms. And then they place their hands on the front and back of you and swipe down. Well, then after that, they feel around your breast.
And we're showing video of the unenhanced, where they do the back of the hands and it's light.
Right.
But it's all about them getting in your comfort zone and training them to do it. And now you went through the enhanced full body pat-down.
Right. And this was the 24th of October, so it was actually before they supposedly started.
Yeah, but they've been beta testing it for two years. So what specifically did they do to your breast?
They grab them from at the top, and they feel their way around.
Yeah.
Whole breast, all the way under, all the way around, in a complete circle, you know. And
I've seen that on the news.
Right. And it was totally uncomfortable. You know, like you said, that's something that your significant other should do to you.
Well, I mean, if your wife's not even in the mood, your wife gets mad. I mean, I'm sorry to get graphic here, but I mean, you know, if mama ain't in the mood, you're going to get slapped even if you're her husband.
Right.
I mean, I'm just getting down to nitty gritty here. Please continue.
And then the gentleman that did that to me, he was moving on to my 8-year-old, and I told him, I want a woman to pat down my children. you know, because I have two girls, and like you said, they're 20 months and 8 years old, and I was not going to allow a male to pat down my children. So they did the same thing to my kids as they did to me.
This is incredible humiliation.
You know, and they're children.
They were sexually assaulted, Michelle. We need to sue them. Maybe we should try to finance that. We need to stand up against these people.
You know, and it was horrible. I mean, you know, my 8-year-old, she's like, Mom, why do they do that? You know, it's just like they say it's for security.
And now she's traumatized to accept this in life.
Right. And I said, you know, no one, I had to explain to her that it is not okay for anyone to touch you that way. You know, we're going through security, and with all the terrorism that's going on, they feel that this is what needs to be done.
And even in the Infowars.com audience, you've been back for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You hadn't told me till you heard me talking about it today.
Right.
We're so conditioned, even myself, that it's just like you didn't even think to tell me till you heard me talk about it.
Right, right. And not only after they patted us down with their hands, mind you, we walked through the metal detector first before they did this.
This is about government perverts having their way.
Right. They took the wand and then went over our body with the wand as well after all that. So we went through pretty much like three forms of security just to...
Well, this is slave training. So your 20-month-old daughter, Tiny, your 8-year-old daughter, and you, a woman, did something that only your husband would do to you and wouldn't do to your children. If he did it to your children, he'd go to jail. I mean, this is outrageous, and they do it. Imagine what's coming next, Michelle.
Right. It's scary. It really is. You know, it makes me not want to fly anymore. That was the first time me and my children had ever flown in our life. And to go through something like that makes me not want to do it anymore. You know, because...
Hey, my wife hadn't flown in almost 9 years.
Yeah. It's...
I mean, and we're like, well, can we go somewhere? Couldn't we do something? No, but I'm sorry. I mean, because you controlled yourself. But imagine... I don't think I could. My 2.5-year-old daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, my son, men grabbing their genitals. I mean, and we just like, oh, that's what we do to fight Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, Anwar al-Awlaki's hanging out at the Pentagon.
Right. That's horrible. It really is.
Well, Michelle, anything else you want to add to this?
No. I'm just glad to get my story out there so everyone can hear that it is going on out there, and it personally happened to me and my family. And so I just warn everyone, you know, if you can get around flying, I would.
Well, the problem is they're coming out with mobile scanners. They're in the courthouses. You go to pay a ticket. They want to do it now.
Yeah.
But people sued in Denver, and they stopped scanning 18 and under because it violates child porn laws.
Yeah, they wanted my children to walk through the naked body scanner.
Oh, no, I was in San Jose last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was only women and children because they think you'll submit.
Yeah, and I saw all these people just willingly going through it. And, you know, I don't really know much about the naked body scanners other than what I've heard up here. And I knew, and so I spoke out to someone here at work, and he said, you have the option to opt out, which I didn't even know that I had that option until he told me. And so, you know, flying from Austin to Denver, security's easy to get through. But coming home.
But they're coming to Austin next year.
Yeah. So, but coming home, it was pretty.
Well, if we give in to them here, we'll give in to them everywhere. And we don't have a lot of money in this operation. A civil rights lawsuit would cost a lot. And then they claim, you know, it's exempt because of terror. But I think people need to start suing. I mean, come on. Come on, folks. It has nothing to do with turban men in caves. 20-month-old little girls having people touch their genitals. I mean, come on. And again, we're showing right here on TV just the, you know, year-old first level. See how it's always more, Michelle?
Yeah. It was not back of the hand like they're showing. It was
first. Oh, he just grabbed her breast right there.
Yes, and cupped it. See? That's exactly what they did to myself.
And they tell us on TV, it's regular for men in uniforms to grab your wife's genitals and breast and your baby daughter. This is freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. We're going to come back and take a few final phone calls. Michelle, this has been a nightmare interview, but at least you had the courage to talk about it. We've got to stand up against this Nazi takeover. They're training us and conditioning us to accept them in our comfort zones. They are. So this is a ritual of enslavement, a ritual of humiliation, a ritual of submission. And Benjamin Chertoff and all of them are criminals doing this. I want to jam in a few calls before we get back into retransmission here and all the news we were covering with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming up in the next segment on the implosion of the dollar by design. But right now, let's go ahead and go to who's up next, John? Adam in Alabama, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Fan, 20 years old, from Alabama, waking up all the future generation around here, and whenever you, get past the accusations of conspiracy theorists, it comes out pretty hard, and they're like, oh, okay.
You don't like them grabbing your wife's breasts and genitals? You're a conspiracy theorist, but they're doing it. You're still a conspiracy theorist. I'm going to roll over. I'm a coward.
Yeah, I had to fund Al-Qaeda. What are you talking about, crazy boy?
Hell, we got to let them touch our wives, or Al-Qaeda will get us.
But, I mean, I could talk to you for hours and about, stuff, but try to make this quick. Article I found, it's a ticket number on your website, 225-157. I don't know if you remember back in January up in Philadelphia, that TSA agent putting cocaine in people's bags.
Yeah, and then telling them, you've got to be my sex slave. Wasn't that the story?
Yeah, just a TSA.
Yeah, when they're not raping children, they're planting drugs on people. Now they get caught all the time, yeah.
Yeah, well, Freedom of Information Act just kind of got implied to that, and TSA documents just came out. Sent you that link that's got it's got a little link to the document over on the side.
Well, I just saw yesterday where top TSA people are robbing people's bags. Wow, what a shock. People that like to grope two-year-old children are stealing. Wow, that's a big stretch.
Oh, they're just doing what the government tells them to do.
They're fighting Al-Qaeda by touching your two-year-old. They're taking the money out of your bag. That's how you fight Al-Qaeda, boy.
You know that.
Well, we'll get on that story so that foyer stuff's come out. Thank you so much, Adam. Let's talk to Mark in New Mexico. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
This is the first time I've ever called you, but I want you to know I've been listening to you for years.
Well, God bless you.
I picked you up originally on John Stadtmiller. I don't miss it if I can help it. I'm 71 years old. I'm an ex-Air Force pilot. And what I just heard a minute ago makes me so sick. This has got to stop. It's got to stop. I won't go any further with that because I'll just start to absolute meltdown. But this is some facts I wanted to just tell everybody there. I haven't heard you say anything about it. What this trip that the president is taking consist of and what it's going to cost.
$200 million a day.
$200 million a day. 8 armored cars, 40 jets. 40 jets. It's
bankers love it. The more they bankrupt us, the better.
Raj alone. He's taking his children, too, for some reason. And that makes me wonder about this thing. Now, I've always foo-fooed this type of stuff about this November 8th possible cataclysm thing that this computer brings up. It did bring up 9/11. That's a fact of life.
Yeah, you're talking about the web bug or the web,
right,
web bot.
Right. And this thing, Alex, it cannot keep going. Period. It can't do it. There is going to be blood running in the streets if they keep this up.
Well, Mark, every day I pinch myself. I mean, I can't believe they're killing the dollar. I can't believe they're... I sat there last Tuesday watching them feel up two-year-olds, three-year-olds. I mean, it's like I'm hallucinating, but it's really happening.
Well, I got news for you, Alex. It's going to stop. If they stop it or not, it will stop. Not by old men like me, probably, but it is going to happen. And I think they want it to happen. That's the thing that really bothers me.
But you know about a bully. They want that fight till they get it.
Bet. And then when they get it, they don't like it so well, especially if you happen to beat tar out of them. I can't believe that Texas is one as bad as... I'm born and raised in Corpus Christi and spent my life, early part of my life, all the way to 20 years old down there, and then I moved to Houston and then went to Alaska. And there was a time there in the service, I just can't believe the stuff.
We got a bunch of degenerate nutcases running things, and they get off on this. It's a big joke to them, but they're going to lose. God's on our side, and beautiful points, Mark, and I can feel your spirit of liberty and love of righteousness, and God bless you. Good to hear from you. Shane, Dan, Chris, I'm out of time. I got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming up. I'll be back live tomorrow. 11 a.m. Central, and then back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Please spread the word about the broadcast. We're doing something special here. We're reaching a lot of people thanks to you spreading the word. And the crew has done a great job. We couldn't do it without them. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners, the sponsors, the affiliates, everybody out there. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on the QE2 dollar destruction is coming up. And his bottom line is, whether it's on purpose or not, get ready because they're killing the dollar. We'll be right back. And strollers, because, you know, the three-year-olds are lazy. Part of their behavior problems. You should make them walk. But just from my experience, you start getting your kids exercise, the behavior problems disappear. I was watching them roll three-year-olds through, and I was like, I was in the twilight zone. I mean, I'm in the twilight zone here. And I saw them looking at me looking, and I just looked at them back. I was hoping they came over so I could say, you're all being radiated, but I had to get my plane, had to get back watching pure evil. It had nothing to do with stopping terrorism. Give me a break. It's all staged. Let's go to Casey in New York. Casey, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
You were great on the radio last night, coast to coast. I listened to both hours.
Well, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, George definitely seems to be a bit of a fan of the movement, even if he can't say so directly.
Well, let me just say this. George stuck his neck out 7 years ago having me on. I'm going to leave it just at that.
Absolutely. All right. A fluoride issue. I live in Suffolk County on Long Island. We're like outside of New York City. We don't fluoridate the water here. There's no fluoride in the water. They don't,
only 69% of the country fluoridates. There's county maps of it on the federal Department of Health Human Services site. And the government will spend, I've seen cases in tiny counties where they'll spend $3-4 million just to get the county to do it. Because, you know, they care about our teeth, Casey.
Yeah, but you know what? Long Island is filled with dentists and doctors. You would figure that if it was good for you, they'd be pushing for it.
No. Anywhere the elite are, even mid-level people, if you study, because they have documentaries about it, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, the Queen of England, the House of Windsor, as its brand name is known, they have their own farms all over the world, and their food is all prepared and sent directly to them. Everything is filtered. They don't even eat at restaurants. Or they go to a restaurant that they sell food to. I mean, I've even read this in Vanity Fair. Of course, they're poisoning everything. People say, well, the elite are getting hit by all this. Well, if it's chemtrails, they're reportedly then given the treatments to counteract it. But everything else they avoid.
Well, here's an interesting fact that goes with the fluoride issue. The show Law and Order, right? It's filmed in New York City up until this year. They had an episode. They've changed the show to make it more technical, to keep up with all these technical cop shows that are on, where they basically, it's all forensic, the entire show. They've added this a little bit to the show, so now in the beginning of any murder investigation, they go right to the crime lab. And they had a woman who drowned, and the investigator was like, well, look here, we don't have an ID on her because she's been in the water too long, but see her teeth? She has fluoridosis, which means she grew up in an area with no fluoride in the water. You should check people from Europe. And I'm like,
but what's insane is that's caused by fluoride in the water.
But the whole thing is why aren't they looking at Suffolk County? It's only 30 miles away. Why do they got to go all the way to Europe?
Well, because you know why they promote all this forensic stuff. One of the corrupt most, and we've had Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, former head of the FBI crime lab on, got to be 10 times over the years, about once a year. Like, let's get Whitehurst back on. And Whitehurst says that most crime labs are fraudulent. And so they just train everyone that if the crime lab says so, it's true. Most crime labs are complete frauds. They just stamp guilty, guilty, guilty. They say, what result do you want? The prosecutor says, we want to find their blood there. They don't even need a blood sample. They'll just say, they'll take a blood sample from you and then put it in their sample. And that's the end. I mean, that was O.J. Simpson. Obviously has problems. Who knows whether he did it or not. That's not the issue. It came out in court that the vials at the police department have a chemical in it to preserve the blood so it doesn't rot in the tube. It's standard on any blood draw. And that chemical was in the blood sample they had. They had gone and gotten a blood sample from him when they arrested him. They'd gone and sprayed it around, and that came out. I mean, see, I'm for the death penalty, Casey, and I appreciate your call. Great points. I'm for the death penalty in a free world. But you can't trust the system to implement a death penalty because it's come out that more than a third of people on death row are innocent. I mean, folks, I was a pretty straight-laced kid. I mean, I got in fights a lot. That was the only bad thing I did. I sped in the car, and I womanized. And I'm not perfect, but compared to people, I wasn't doing drugs. I didn't like marijuana when I smoked it. I didn't steal anything except, and I've been honest about it, you know, there was a neighborhood golf course, and we would occasionally, the older kids would hit us up. Older kids love to manipulate little kids. Like when I was 12 years old, go down there to the golf carts and steal some beer, because all those golfers were just bombed out of their mind. So I've stole beer, you know, out of golf carts a few times. But the cops one time called me in at the high school because I knew the cops were dealing drugs. I'd talked about it. And they said, you've been stealing stereo equipment. And I said, that's ridiculous. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't told the cop. I said, I stole beer 5 years ago. And they just said, well, you just better shut your mouth about talking about us. They're a bunch of drug dealers. But I've already blown the time to take calls. We're coming back in the final segment. Paul in Jersey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. Steph, two quick points. One is, I don't know if you've discussed this already, but John Boehner voted for TARP, and he begged the entire House to vote for TARP.
No, Boehner's bad news. We need Ron Paul for the speaker.
And Bachman didn't vote for TARP, and I think as long as Boehner's excluded as an inevitable choice.
Yeah, to be clear, we don't want Boehner. Michelle Bachman's better. Ron Paul's the king.
Yeah, clearly. I agree. And also, I came across a product called Jupiter Jack. It's $9. You plug it into your cell phone, and when you call the listen line, if you put your stereo in your car or any other radio to 99.3, it plays the listen line in your car speakers. And you can play it full volume. Instead of having to, like, you know, listen to it on your cell phone, you can play it through your car stereo at full volume, and it just sounds much better.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. In fact, what is the listen line? I always forget the listen line. We have a free listen line that's sponsored by eFoods Direct, isn't it? Because I know it costs us about $4,000 a month, and they sponsor us for $2,000, so I lose on the listen line, so I lose $2,000 a month on that. That's why to reach people costs money. It's why I'm like always, buy this, buy that. And it's products I believe in, but also I got this meter running. You know, I thought I had 20 employees and contractors. We just did the math. 27. No wonder I'm burning through money like it's confetti. But thank God people are supporting us, buying the books and videos at Infowars.com. Great points, Paul. You know, I could talk to you callers all day long. We'll see who we can get to coming back.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land. They think they're on our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and support independent, patriotic Liberty Films.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued. So I used the program methods, and after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Well, I got good news for Adam, Mark, Shane, and Dan. I'm going into overdrive. You know why? We're not going to show her for her privacy. Michelle, one of the great customer service ladies that works here in the office, when you call and buy books and videos or ask about an order, that's who you talk to, her and Janet and Matt. She said, I just heard you on the radio talking about the naked body scanners. She was gone a few weeks ago. She went on vacation to Colorado with her wonderful two daughters, who are just great little sweetie cakes. And they grabbed the daughters. They put their hands between her legs. They grabbed her breast. And, I mean, I've got it right here in the news. Opt out of a body scan, then brace yourself, New York Times. ABC News says they now grab your genitals, but it's ladies and gentlemen, again, this is how we're not connected to each other. This is going on to people in my office. And I told you I was in San Jose. It was only women and children. They know that they won't opt out most of the time. Men will. This is such conditioning. We're going to go into overdrive into the fourth hour, but I wanted to bring Ted Anderson up because gold, correct me if I'm wrong, is at an all-time high today, all-time high. It's getting right up there close to $1,400 an ounce. Silver is at its next all-time high. It was almost at $26 when I just checked the segment before last, about 25 minutes ago. Ted, where is gold and silver right now?
Well, gold right now is at $1,384.20. It's been as high as $1,384.50. Silver did break $26 an ounce. Seen a high of $26.03 today. Right now it's at $26 on the nose. Alex, it is just jumping.
And I mean, called you last, actually, you called me and we said, well, gold and silver will be up tomorrow because they've announced they're going to devalue the dollar. I mean, this is a no-brainer, Ted.
It sure is. And the funny thing is they tried to manipulate it down when they first came out with that QE2 statement yesterday. It was on Tuesday. And they were able to be successful for only about a day and a half. And then it just got away from them. That is just amazing that they're just losing control. I mean, gold is reflecting what fiat currency does. You know, they don't want
that. That's why they hate it, because it's the one chink in the armor that shows how it's all a fraud. Ted, I want people to get involved in gold and silver. And if the deals you've got, I've seen it. You buy the gold and silver when it's down, sell it when it's up at a lower price. I know you got 3-4% markup on these radio specials. And now with the market up, you lose money on those three silver dollars and three of my films. For $87 shipping included, that's almost $160. What is it, $157 value for $87? You've got that deal. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. They got great deals, but they're not this good at MidasResources.com. Most of the MidasResources.com deals beat the other major brokers and dealers. But these radio specials, I'm here to tell you, I can't find a better deal. Briefly, Ted, we got about a minute and a half left. In this third hour, tell folks some of the other gold and silver offers, because, yeah, great.
They better move before midnight on these ones. We have Frank's at $297. They do get the full year subscription to the newsletter if they want that. The British Sovereign Gold Coin is at $372. All the stuff has gone up in price. Everybody came to me, hey, you're raising the price on the Walking of Liberty halves? I said, I can't today, probably tomorrow. $1,177 on those, you just can't beat it. $20 Liberties, if you want those, $15.99. They've broke over $1,600 already. $10 Liberties, $8.25. I mean, we also have U.S. Eagles. We have Canadian Maple Leafs. We have bars. We have junk silver. I mean, we got the whole gamut. If you have an IRA, whatever. I mean, if the time to get involved in gold is now. I mean, the handwriting is so on the wall now. The fire is like at the door. Are you going to leave the house or are you going to get burnt down in it? It's just too bad that we're traveling the direction that we are.
Ted, we've said it 100 times or more. We wish we weren't right. I mean, it's scary to be right, but gold and silver is the place I'm at. That's what I've done for our limited backup funding for this operation. And, you know, gold I bought at $300 an ounce, haven't sold it. Silver I bought at $5 an ounce, haven't sold it. It's and we haven't had the capital. I haven't bought any in a while, a little bit of silver because we just don't have the money. But, folks, you need to get involved today, 800-686-2237, 1-800-686-2237. Hour number four coming up. Ted, thank you for popping in with us.
Thanks.
We'll be right back live. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
Dykes is freaking out right now out in the hallway. We just learned about him injecting children, men, women in Guatemala with live syphilis. Now he's got AP headline, did U.S. infect Haiti with cholera? Man, I tell you, pure evil. But notice they say the U.S. No, the criminal banks that run this country. In fact, experts, did U.N. troops infect Haiti? So he said U.S., U.N. troops. Haiti researchers should determine whether United Nations peacekeepers were the source of a deadly outbreak of cholera in Haiti. Two public health experts, including a U.N. official, said Wednesday. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that the strain of cholera that killed 442 people in the past 3 weeks matches strains found in South Asia. The CDC, World Health Organization, United Nations say it's not possible to pinpoint the source of the investigation further would distract from efforts to fight the disease, so they can't investigate that. Let's go back to your phone calls. Up next, who's up next here? Because Matthew in Texas, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to let you know that this is my first time calling. My cousin Jeffrey Allen Heinrich, he's in Houston right now. He's the one who introduced me to your documentaries, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's what I've been doing all my research from, and I just wanted to call you today to let you know that I have sent over not only your documentaries to our local news broadcasting stations, but I've sent over a lot more information that I have, like, researched personally.
Some of those seeds, Matthew, will fall on the rocks. Others will be eaten by the birds. But many of those seeds you throw out will get in the dirt and will grow. And so just keep broadcasting, keep sowing the seeds of truth. It's unstoppable.
It's all over. It's all over my Facebook page. Actually, that's the only reason why I have it is just to get out certain information. But I have a concern and a question. Why is it so difficult to change our systems? Why can't we bring back the greenback? Why do we have to have a debt society when we can just say, hey,
well, this no, is not I good mean, that's for what us. Lincoln and Kennedy tried, and you saw what happened to them, because there's vested interests that want to control the issuance of currency and credit because they get to rule everything. And that's what Rand Paul and Ron Paul and myself and many others are trying to do, and that's why we're under attack, because it's that simple thing. It's in the Constitution that the Congress controls the issuance of currency and credit, not private bankers.
And the only thing I'm saying is, like, once that happened, once the Kennedy assassination happened, I'm sure the public knew that exactly what was going on instantly. Like, he just exposed people, he just got killed. There should have been a massive riot, a massive national strike.
But we bought into that lie, so now they fondle our women and children. Michelle, who works here, I'm not going to say her last name. She's willing to do it, but I'm not going to. I've known her for 5 years. Michelle opted out of the naked body scanner. She's coming up in studio. And so they fondled her and her baby. She has like a year-old baby and her eight-year-old daughter. They grabbed her daughter. I mean, I can't even say it on air. They put their hands on her private areas. I mean, this is America, and they do this out in the open, and they set the precedent. You know, there's no radiology laws. There are laws. They just ignore them with these machines. I appreciate your call. I've got Adam, Mark, Shane, and Dan. I guess I will go to 30 after in overdrive, because I'm going to have Michelle in studio, then I'm going to try to jam in Adam, Mark, Shane, and Dan. But you guys got to have your comments ready. I want to hear from you. Just to be quite frank with you, I got sick Sunday. I could barely talk on the Sunday show. And then it got a little bit better. And then Tuesday night, I got a fever. And then last night, I did Coast to Coast and got basically no sleep. I'm not complaining. Now that I've gone into overdrive, I can broadcast for 10 more hours. Just I've got to go home and get some sleep. I got to get better. Because you notice at the start of the show, I could hardly talk. And just over time, I'm able to drive through it. But I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, I can't go forever. Be right back.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com. or PrisonPlanet.com, or watch you online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is Thursday, the 4th day of November, 2010. We're into overdrive in the fourth hour, doing a full fourth hour tomorrow with a special guest in studio. Again, none of this is my opinion. I saw Governor Ridge in 2003, right as Homeland Security was being given cabinet power, announced that they're going to have naked body scanners at every baseball game, every football game. We've played those videos. Homeland Security years later announced it. It's 18-wheeler trailers. They march you through. They put you in a brain scanner and ask you questions. They say, do you have bombs or do you have recording equipment? As if recording a concert is terrorism. So they mix terror with just normal activities, having a cell phone that records. And when I was in San Jose last Tuesday, flying back from Santa Cruz, where I gave two speeches, I've told the story, but to recap, I sat there for about 20 minutes after I went through the checkpoint. It was a coffee place right past it inside the gate, watching nothing at four checkpoints, at four lines, but women and small children in strollers being put through naked body scanners, being bathed in radiation. It violates your Fourth Amendment. Now they're saying CIA to Al-Qaeda women are going to have breast implant bombs. This is what they're telling TSA. So they want chest x-rays, and they've got to squeeze. And it's been on the news. It's called enhanced pat-down. Even if you opt out, they do this. But now they're saying, no, we're going to put you through naked body scanners and do this. They're training a giant Gestapo cadre that it's normal and natural to do this to people. Now, they can get you to submit to this. People getting inside your comfort zone, they can do anything. Now, we've got a Paul Craig Roberts story at InfoWars.com. Might is right about all this. But we've got the New York Times today by Joe Sharkey. What's happening is members of the establishment or wannabes are finding out about this. It says, opt out of a body scan, then brace yourself. Having been taught by nuns in grade school and later going through military boot camp, I have always just liked uniformed authorities shouting at me. So I was unhappy last week when some security screeners at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago started yelling, opt out, we've got an opt out. One bellowed about me in a tone that people in my neighborhood in Tucson usually reserve for declaring rattlesnake. Then they go into them squeezing his genitals and everything else. Now, here is the New York Times. Pat-down or full-body scan. Security gets more personal in airports. As TSA changes airport pat-down procedures, some ask if security's gone too far. Oh, has it gone too far? Next time you pass through security in some airports around the country, you may face a difficult dilemma. Would you rather have a revealing full-body scan or, as some are calling, X-rated pat-down? Some passengers opt out of the full-body scan, concerned about the low dose of radiation emitted by the high-tech body scanners that are being put in place at many terminals. And what about your naked body being recorded or your Fourth Amendment? The machines are also able to see beneath clothes and create a photorealistic picture of the passenger's body. Yeah, your genitals, everything. But for those who refuse the scan, an alternative pat-down is about to get equally thorough. Then a day after they reported this, on October 28th last week, they said everybody's going to get a pat-down now. And it's not. And they go on. Starting Friday, the TSA is changing its pat-down procedure. They already done this. TSA officers used to pat down passengers with the backs of their hands, as if that's okay to rub someone's breast or genitals with the back of your hand. But now they'll use the fronts of their hands to search more than ever before, in some cases touching body parts that were once off limits. Now, it goes on. When I was there, I was watching children and women. And I was watching three-year-olds with men on little girls putting their hands between their legs. Now, I walked out during the break 15 minutes ago, and Michelle, we're not going to show her for her privacy. She's worked here for 5 years on a great job, customer service. I know her daughters well, play with my children, great people. Michelle went to Colorado for a trip 2 weeks ago with her two daughters. And the same thing happened to her. And she said, no, they grabbed my breast. They put their hand between my legs and they tried it with her daughters and they did it because she wouldn't be radiated. Now, Michelle, we've only got a few minutes left in this segment. You've got the floor. Tell people the account of this molestation that you and your 1-year-old daughter, or how old is she now?
20 months.
Here, lean forward towards the mic.
She's 20 months.
20 months. So almost 2 years. And how old? I'm not going to say her name. She's eight or nine.
Eight.
Okay. Same as my son. Let's go over exactly what happened. Describe it as you know what happened.
Okay. So we're walking through security in Denver Airport. And they make you take off your shoes and put everything on the conveyor belt.
You're coming back to Austin.
And after you take off your shoes and put everything on the scanner, they have you walk through a metal detector. Well, after they have you walk through a metal detector, they want you to go to the naked body scanner. Well, I was told here to say I opt out. And so I said, I opt out for me and my children. And so they yelled real loud, we have an opt out. And so they pulled us off to the side and they start at your ankle. And they work their way up with hands on both sides of your legs. They get to your private area. They, you know, feel your private area, work their way down to your other leg.
Let's be specific. They touched your...
They, and it was not back of hand. It was palm.
So this is something your husband would do, but now it's a man. That's the key.
It was a male officer that that patted me down. I would not allow a male to pat my children down. So they had a female come up.
But think about the taboos they're breaking. A man, I mean, you touch a woman, you walk up in a park and touch a woman on her genitals, you're going to prison.
Exactly.
I mean, that's sexual assault.
And so after they finish the lower half of your body, then they work their way up your sides and they go down your arms. And then they place their hands on the front and back of you and swipe down. Well, then after that, they feel around your breast.
And we're showing video of the unenhanced, where they do the back of the hands and it's light.
Right.
But it's all about them getting in your comfort zone and training them to do it. And now you went through the enhanced full body pat down.
Right. And this was the 24th of October. So it was actually before they supposedly started.
Yeah, but they've been beta testing it for two years. So what specifically did they do to your breast?
They grab them from at the top. And they feel their way around,
yeah,
the whole breast, all the way under, all the way around, in a complete circle, you know. And
I've seen that on the news.
Right. And it was totally uncomfortable, you know, like you said, that's something that your significant other should do to you.
Well, I mean, if your wife's not even in the mood, your wife gets mad. I mean, I'm sorry to get graphic here, but I mean, you know, if mama ain't in the mood, you're going to get slapped even if you're her husband.
Right.
I mean, I'm just getting down to nitty gritty here. Please continue.
And then the gentleman that did that to me, he was moving on to my 8-year-old. And I told him, I want a woman to pat down my children, you know, because I have two girls. And like you said, they're 20 months and 8 years old. And I was not going to allow a male to pat down my children. So they did the same thing to my kids as they did to me.
This is incredible humiliation.
You know, and they're children.
They were sexually assaulted, Michelle. We need to sue them. Maybe we should try to finance that. We need to stand up against these people.
You know, and it was horrible. I mean, you know, my 8-year-old, she's like, Mom,